Okay, while you play one, we'll try to get adjusted. I'm having trouble with this cape and the big belt.
Quiet on the set, people. What a crazy crowd in here tonight.
And I think he's going to sing again.
Now you know.
Gee, with all that buildup, I hope we've got something to do.
Who's on the radio?
I don't know.
Well, our thanks to John Herbach, a listener who put that together for us tonight. He invited all those people to his house just so they could listen to
he
the
did.
Tune. And thank you, John.
And how he got that clean a copy of our original theme, I have no idea.
From 10 plus years ago. God bless him.
So welcome to Steve and Johnny Saturday Night 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Or Johnny and Steve.
Yeah. The both of us. Him and her. Her and him.
We're live. This is not Memorex. We are actually live here in a very, very pleasant, quiet radio studio on the 18th floor.
In fact, if you go to our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, STEVEANDJOHNNIESHOW, and you will see we posted a kind of a psychedelic picture of what we were seeing as we looked through the window at this time of night. And we're here till 2 in the morning.
Oh,
we're here till 2 in the morning? Whose idea was this?
I know. But we are not alone. That's the nice thing. We are not alone. With us tonight, in fact, he's here until 4 in the morning.
We want to introduce you to everybody, but we wanted to start with the priorities. The most important first.
Yes.
Because him without whom, you wouldn't be able to hear us.
That's
because
right.
He is the keeper of the big plug.
And if he pulled the plug, you know, we'd be just yammering to ourselves. And he is Dan Long. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good evening, guys.
That was
very nice. I've never been called a priority before.
How about keeper of the big plug?
I am that as well.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that what it says on your business card, the keeper of the big plug?
it's my official title, yeah.
He's got a trifold business card. So many duties the man has. So you are here till 4. Correct?
I am, yes.
Yes. So you get out of here just about the time get home as the sun's coming up, right?
Yeah, I get to decompress a little bit while the sun rises and then sleep all day.
You know, we had that conversation on the way
in. Yeah, I'm sure you guys after years.
But we said, this means we can do absolutely anything we want on Sunday and not feel guilty.
Sundays are going to be even more special around our house from now on. Yeah.
I'm not cooking either. You're eating leftovers or bologna sandwiches or something like that. Because I'm going to be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Also with us until 2 in the morning is our producer. And we want to introduce you to our producer. He is new. Well, not really, because I guess we actually worked with you a while back, right, Andrew?
About 6 millennia ago at this point.
Is that right?
I think it was closer to 3 years ago, probably the New Year's Eve show.
New Year's Eve was always a blur.
Yeah, it's always a blur.
Yeah, always. Well, thank you for being there, because I know that was pretty crazy, and you were new then, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I was fresh out the box.
Yep. This is Andrew Harris, the pride of Buffalo, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And not Buffalo ice cream. We mean Buffalo, New York.
Although the ice cream may happen.
Pretty good.
And let's segue over into the newsroom. Ron Brown's over there now. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Yeah. I'm so happy to have you guys here.
I know, because you get real lonely on Saturday nights.
It's a whole different vibe, and it's very, very cool. Yeah, you guys are fantastic.
I have a thermos here of coffee made at home. It's about a 20-cup coffee thermos. So if you need something other than the thing that takes forever down the hall. You know, God bless them for making coffee available to us, but when you only have a couple minutes to run and grab a cup of coffee and you're coaxing it to heat up, you're like, come on. But we're prepared for the night. Also in the newsroom tonight
is Gabe.
Hey, Gabe.
Gabe is hard at work putting together the next newscast.
Well,
do you have a moment, Gabe, to come on over and say hi to everybody?
He's shy.
He's anything but shy. Wait a second. Hold on here.
I thought that would get him to the microphone.
Come on over here. We'll share the microphone right here, Gabe.
Let him sit on your knee. Yeah. Gabe Salgado takes over at midnight tonight, and then he takes you through the rest of the night.
Good evening.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Gabe. And a little later, we're going to pick your brain for your idea of what's going to happen with the Bears game on Sunday.
Let me just say, get your Tylenol ready ahead of time, because you're not going to like how that's going to sound.
You know what? Maybe we just sleep through the game and watch the highlights.
Yeah.
You know what? That might be a good idea, but there will still be some things that fans would be interested to see as far as, like, you know,
like play, the end play, of the season.
Oh, other than that, but you know, players that may want to stick around for next season that, you know, that did, you know, give this team a chance on Sundays. But
certainly,
at the same time, you know, although it's good to see this, you know, miserable season coming around, at the same time, it's also disappointing because we love football in this town.
Yeah.
So that'll definitely be a fun conversation to have.
What jersey are you wearing tonight?
I'm actually wearing a White Sox shirt.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So I had my Cubs one on last night. So,
oh, well.
So I balanced it all out.
Well, good. You knew we were in the house tonight, so you wore your White Sox jersey, right?
Of course.
Okay, good man. Okay. So we are covered on all the bases.
Yep.
When you call tonight at 312-981-7200, you'll be talking to Andrew. If there are any technical problems, we turn them over to Dan, and then you're going to get all of your news between Gabe and Ron. If anything happens, they know that they can just break in when news breaks out. Is that what we said?
Oh, I like that.
Yes,
that's
okay.
Good. And yes, we are live, or as live as we ever get, and we've got a bunch of people.
Yes.
Some you may be familiar with. There are some new things, because this is, I think the technical term is, this is going to be a work in progress.
Okay. All right. But before we go away and take a quick break, do you still have Christmas decorations up, Dan Long?
I am done. We are clear.
Oh, you look like you're really proud of it, too.
Not really. I have no problem with letting the Christmas stuff sit around for a couple of days.
Sit around. The last week was so depressing, so gray.
We needed those lights on the tree.
Oh, that is true.
I don't need Santa, but, you know, lights on the tree. Oh, my gosh. This is the time of the year we should be lighting the lights, right?
Yep. And as we pulled out of our driveway tonight, all the lights were on at our house.
Yes.
They will be on for several more weeks.
Well, if the Vatican's going to keep their lights on until February 2nd, I think...
Yeah, that works for me.
I mean, I just heard the Pope said, February 2nd, we take the lights down. I'm like, okay, thank you, Pope.
That's perfectly acceptable,
That's
I feel
right.
like.
That's okay.
Right. Ron, you got decorations and lights up at your house?
Well, I hope you don't think less of me, but no, I didn't. I don't usually put up Christmas decorations.
Oh.
Single guy, live at home, and I let other people take care of that. I do enjoy them, but I don't put them up around my house.
Okay, from now on, Steve, one of our eight trees will be Ron's tree.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
I've been adopted.
Okay.
One of the eight trees will say, this one's just for Ron.
Well, thank you.
That'll be our rockabilly tree. How's
that? All right.
Because we have a guitar tree, so we can have
a rockabilly. Yeah, we really do.
Yeah. Rocking around the Christmas tree. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, do you have any decorations up? Anything going on at your house that looks Christmassy?
My roommate and I both have a yearly Christmas wreath that we keep on our door at all times.
Good.
Because
okay.
we forgot to take it down one year, and we just said, it's up forever now.
That works.
And you want the neighbors to think you're crazy, and they won't mess with you. So they, the crazy guys that have a Christmas wreath up. We won't bother with them, right? Because I know that's what our neighbors say about us. They're the crazy people with the year-round Christmas tree. But that's okay.
Well, that's one of the reasons they think we're crazy. But that's
thanks,
a subject
Steve.
For a much longer discussion.
Yes.
But we're going to take a break, and then back with more. You can text us. You can call us, 312-981-7200. We have a ton of people that are going to be joining us tonight. We roughly planned about 10 hours worth of stuff for a five-hour show. So stay with us, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Just the two of us. Well, not really. As we said, we got a whole gang of guys here with us tonight. And we really appreciate that. Indianapolis is listening. Dean in Indy checks in and says, wow, welcome back. Got a lot of welcome homes at 312-981-7200, and we really appreciate that. And the listener who said, I'm so happy that Steve and Jenny are back on the radio. So I just
wrote, Jenny will be here a little later.
Well, I said I'll tell Jenny.
Yeah.
And then I signed it, Love Johnny, because I don't want to be ugly. You know, don't want to start the night out like that.
We go to some phone calls, and Annette, hi, you're on WGN.
Welcome home.
Oh, Annette, thank you.
What a nice thing it is to hear your voices.
Well, thank you.
It's a nice thing to be heard.
Annette, welcome home. You interviewed my Robert.
Yes.
He passed away now. Three times on your radio, writing his book, Christmas on State Street.
Yes. Wonderful book.
When I was talking about our 8 Christmas trees, I thought, did you pick up a vibe? I thought about you guys.
Yeah, Uncle Mistletoe is on my tree as we speak,
and I leave it up.
Now you'll stay till the 2nd. I shall leave it up till the 2nd.
2nd of February. The Pope said this. He said, I guess Candlemas is the holiday. And he apparently told, I guess, archdioceses all around the world, leave your lights up until February 2nd. I said, God bless you, Pope. I really appreciate that.
You bless the Pope.
Yeah. I was thinking of Robert tonight, and I was contemplating, just relaxing, and I turned on my WGN, and there you were, and I was so happy. It was like connecting with Robert again, so I want to welcome you home.
Oh, thank you.
That's a very sweet thing to say, Annette.
That is so sweet, Annette. Thank you for being with us throughout the years. We really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's we've heard from a lot of people that have been nice enough to be with us for a long time.
We have listeners going to bed so that they can feel like they used to feel in bed with us.
Okay.
It's 9 o'clock, people. We're 9:25. The listeners, Barbara says, tell Steve and Johnny I actually went to bed at 9 tonight so I can savor the full Steve and Johnny experience like I did all those years.
Some of the most fun letters, emails, whatever, that we used to get were from people who would be sleeping. They would wake up. There was one woman in particular. She was sleeping. She had her radio on. She would have her headphones in her ear. We started talking about something. She started laughing, and her husband wanted to know what the heck she was laughing at because he was sound asleep, and he didn't know what she was doing.
And she was shaking the bed because she was laughing so hard. And he said, are you possessed? Or what's going on? Because the bed is shaking. And so she said, could you please talk to my husband and tell him what I was laughing at? I said, you know, it loses something in translation when you kind of retell it. And she said, okay, he thinks I'm crazy. Simple as that, right?
We should explain for anybody who's new to us that if you don't know who the heck we are, we've been a part of the WGN family since 1984, full-time for roughly 27-some-odd years. And somebody wants to know what show number this is. This is...
we think it's 6,203.
No, it's more than that.
6,302.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6,302.
That sounds right.
Because at 5,000, the governor at that time, Governor Quinn, proclaimed it our day because we had 5,000 shows under our belt. And yes, I was keeping track of them all those years.
And we went into Starbucks with that proclamation expecting to get a free Frappuccino, but nothing.
No. You know. And I was told by a police officer, don't try to park at this meter and not pay the meter with that dumb proclamation. Yeah. It doesn't work. And I said, thank you, officer. Here's my money.
But we've been a part of the WGN family for a long time. And we're going to be back on Saturday nights for a while and see how it plays out. And we won't be, especially in the next couple weeks. The regular show time is 9 p.m. till 2 a.m. That may change depending on Hawks games.
Right.
Like next week, we don't start till 10:30. I think the next 2 weeks, we don't start till 10:30.
But be here as soon as the game is done. Don't go away. Stick around, and we're going to have all kinds of fun things to take you through until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Some of the things that you've heard us do before, and some new things. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of new stuff planned for you,
Absolutely. And the... Did I say it was 6,302?
Two, yeah, it sounds...
Well,
close.
We're going to count every one of those shorter shows as a show, too.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we show up, that's
every
a show,
time,
right?
That's, yep.
Okay.
In fact, if we just pass the station, that's a show.
See, I've got a little counter that I wear on my belt, and I just, I just keep a tally that way.
We go back to some phone calls, 312-981-7200, and let's go to, line three, I think. Let's try. Whoops.
Uh-oh. Do not start whoopsing.
I'm prepared to completely screw this up.
It's 28 minutes into the show. Do not whoops me.
So let me see if theoretically... Okay, this should be Kimberly?
So does Jim.
Or Jim. Okay. Well, you look like Kimberly. It's that blonde wig you were wearing.
Kimberly.
Jim, just a minute. Let him say whoops one more time, okay?
Whoops one more time,
get
okay.
Get it all out of your system. Hi, Jim.
Hello, very much. I want to thank you guys so much. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to you guys and WGN Radio because I have been a long, long, long time listener. I used to drive overnight and listen to you guys every single night.
Oh, you were one of our all-night truckers.
Yes. And then even after that job, I'd still listen to you overnight. And now in the last few years, I cannot get into any of the WGN programming. And I wanted to get in touch with them and say, hey, what happened to Steve and Johnny? And when, I mean, I'm staying up and, I mean, I'm up usually at this time, but I'm so tickled that you guys are back. I just welcome you back.
Thank you.
I just, I'm so happy. I couldn't say it enough. I love you guys. In all the years I've listened, thousands of shows, I have never, ever had to turn you off because I was bored or upset with anything.
You just made my night. So, Jim, now you can go away.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Your job is done.
Check is in the mail. And real quick, just before we break for the news, Jim was talking about how, there's some programming he likes, some he doesn't. And we want to say a little bit about that, because we're going to be here for 5 hours. We're going to do a lot of stuff and cover a lot of ground.
That's a lot of words. So if you happen to be listening and it's something that doesn't trip your trigger, you're going, I don't like to talk about fill in the blanks, then, go take a warm bath or make yourself some peanut butter and crackers and come back because you're hopefully going to find something that you will enjoy over the next 5 hours. So I'm just saying, don't rush to your computer to start frantically typing
away.
You do not like what's happening now. For the 12 minutes I've been listening, just relax. This is what the night's all about.
Just chill for a while.
That's the kind of vibe we're going for.
In fact, we're going to chill and go to the newsroom. I just realized I now get to say something that... It's kind of awkward coming back because I'm used to saying Steve and Johnny at WGN in for fill in the blank.
Right.
And the blanks are us tonight.
That's right. Surprise.
And there is a bit of a new lineup on Saturday nights.
Yes.
The Mincing Rascals are on before us and after us. And I think this is so cool. I've been a fan of Frank Sinatra for...
You and my mother bonded on Frank from day one.
Yeah,
it was so funny because my dad would go, it's Tony Bennett. It's not Frank. She'd go, John, Steve agrees with me.
In fact, that is my one regret. I've seen Elvis. I've seen the Beatles for $5 at Comiskey Park. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Seen Tony Bennett. Never got to see Frank Sinatra in person. And really would have loved to have had that experience.
Yeah.
Dave Plyer is nice enough to stop in and hang out with us.
Hey, guys.
And you've got a new show that is
a new time slot.
Regular show, new time slot.
Yes. There's all kinds of chances. I'm doing a travel show followed by my show. So we did the first travel show yesterday on the map. By the way, hello and welcome back to a regular birth here on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
My dad even is very excited that we're on right now, and he doesn't listen this late at night. He's like, I'm listening. I'm staying up tonight. I'm doing this.
God.
Yeah, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But yeah, so a little travel show, then we'll do my show, and then they rerun part of my show on Saturday. But yeah, Sinatra, which is perfect because you guys always have music as a big part of your show. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to lead that into a little bit of Frank.
I don't know that I ever asked you. Did you ever get to see Frank live?
Yes. So I lived in New York for 3 or 4 years in the early 90s, and I saw him at what was the Ravinia of upstate New York. It's a SPAC, the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and it's the only time I've ever seen him live. He wasn't doing backstage or anything because I was working for a record company at the time, but got to see him on stage 92 or 3, maybe 93.
Was he good?
He died in 95, I believe. So it was toward the end, but he was still Frank. It was still seeing this legend on stage.
And what I find fascinating about watching Sinatra, even in his late year videos, He knew what was going on with his voice. He found new ways to
use it. You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
Different breathing techniques.
Yeah.
And I admired him so much for that.
Never really changed his music per se, because he hated rock and roll. I mean, it took him a long time to say, all right, I'll entertain singing some of these newer songs or some of these pop songs, but he was never really a rock guy.
Like, he didn't really want to do Strangers in the Night, did he?
Not that, but plus he did. He did Sweet Caroline. He did Leaving in a Jet Plane. Like, he did so many songs that were awkward for him to do. But I love playing them because they're just so bizarre sometimes.
What was the one? And correct me on this. The song that really was the nail in the coffin that said, okay, Mitch Miller, I'm out of Columbia. I can't put up with this dreck.
Oh, that's a really good question here.
I think there was some dog barks or something in it. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, those were his very, very early days. But yeah, he was out. I remember the song. I don't know the song.
Oh, I'm going to... Okay, the hard drive in my head is going to be working on this.
You have to get your staff on it. Is your staff listening right now?
We told them to quiet down.
Okay, yeah, that's smart. Very smart. But tomorrow is Elvis's birthday, right?
Is it? Yes.
Yeah, so there was one time, though, he did embrace it because he knew his ratings on his TV show were going to pick up. And he sang Love Me Tender.
Which was wonderful.
And Elvis sang Witchcraft.
Together. So they intertwined the songs together. And Elvis did his swing, his swagger, and everything else. Frank was a little more awkward with Love Me Tender, I remember. But those are the little gems that I love finding and playing and sharing those stories on the radio with people, you know?
Andrew, did you have a name of possibly a song, fill in the blank for us?
I think I'm looking it up. Mama Will Bark?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can you play, if you've got Mama it, can you play Will literally Bark?
You know what? I don't think I've ever played that.
It was a horrible record, Mitch Miller wanted Sinatra to do it, and when it was kind of the nail in the coffin, and he said, okay, not only am I out of here, but I'm going to Capitol.
Yeah.
And then after he was with Capitol for a while, he started his own company,
Reprise. That's right.
But if you've got Mama Will Bark, this is just...
Pull that baby up. Yeah.
To call out a piece of dreck is an insult to dreck.
I'm trying to think who was the Capitol when he got there. Was it Alan Livingston? Because he's the guy that you know, our friends at GNTV always talk about that he created Bozo, but he was the guy that was leading Capitol Records at the time, too.
Okay, you got it?
I would have quit, too.
Mitch Miller, who was running Columbia at that time, said, Frank, you're going to do this. And that was it.
Oh,
he was out of there.
Yeah. That would be the straw.
Yeah, that would be it. That was awful. Now I want to play it, though, because that's a great story. It's a great story to share. I love that.
Then you got all those good songs to cleanse your palate with after that.
You know, he recorded, I think, almost 1,400 songs. And, of course, some of them several times. But I obviously haven't played all of them because that one. that one will add for later
tonight.
Leave
it to my ever-loving to come
I love
up with
that.
Something like
I love that.
That.
Well, you're the music encyclopedia here. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
the closest I ever came to seeing Frank was, this would have been roughly 1977-ish at the River Oaks Shopping Center. They had outside concerts. Frank Sinatra Jr. was there with a big band.
It
was a wonderful concert.
Yeah. And sounded so much like his father.
Yeah.
I would say the closest I've gotten to him besides seeing him is I got to know Rickles, Don Rickles, and his manager was Frank's road manager. So he's on our show very frequently talking stories and so forth. But that was a guy that, I mean, they were buddies, Sinatra and Rickles.
Yeah.
That was an inseparable. And you know what? You watch anything on YouTube, I love the Rickles and Carson stuff that's on there.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've talked to Tom Dreesen many times.
Oh, yeah, Tommy, absolutely.
He's got stories to tell.
Yeah, he opened up, I think, 13 years. He was his, absolutely.
That's incredible, too.
Yeah.
When you see Tom, tell him we said, hey, it's been too long since we've talked to him.
I will do that. I'll throw you his number. He should do the show.
Yeah.
He'd love to.
I used to have his number.
Michael Connor texted in to say that he saw Frank Sinatra in the early 90s at the Civic Opera House, mezzanine seats. He said, I drove to the University of Chicago to buy the tickets from a guy because I knew from a guy.
He knew a guy.
Yeah.
Because
he said, I knew I had to see Frank before he was gone. And that was in the 90s, early 90s.
Early 90s, no question.
Wow. We are going to take a quick break. Dave Plyer will be following this here show at 2 o'clock in the morning. So there's a shift Mm-hmm. And
the Sinatra Hours will run from 2 until 5,
and then we got a little half hour in there that we're doing called the Crooner's Corner, where we're going to play a little of some other folks like Nat King Cole and Steve Lawrence, and you know, just some of the other stuff that's inspired by Frank. You know, it breaks it up a little bit.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very cool. We'll take a break. More to come. Stay with us at WGN. Yes. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. It was roughly 1967 or 68. Jimmy Bowen was producing Frank Sinatra, and he had him record that song. And I don't know that it was ever Frank's favorite song, but it was one of my favorite songs because Sinatra's voice was Sinatra's voice. And I believe after they finished the session, Kay, the female bass player, we've had her on the show.
Yeah,
I believe they brought her in to record that fuzz tone bass over the arrangement and give it a little more of a contemporary feel. And it charted for, I want to say, about a month or so. It was never one of Frank's biggest records, but it was one of my favorites.
It's a great song. And as we're looking out the window, looking at the skyline, listening to that music, I'm thinking about folks listening, maybe driving in their cars through downtown Chicago, listening to that just great, powerful voice that he has.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking with Dave Plyer because his Sinatra Hours will be right after our show at 2 o'clock in the morning till 5. And he's now doing a travel show. And Carrie writes, "I'm so happy to hear you, Steve and Johnny. And Dave's travel show was really fun, so interesting. I loved it."
Wow.
And that is Carrie from Geneva, who was listening yesterday. And that was the first show.
First show, inaugural show yesterday.
So what's the, I'm sorry I missed it yesterday.
So each week we're going to focus on either a regional area, national area, somewhere international, and we're going to talk to the folks out there, maybe a business, an event, something special that's going on out there for a couple segments. We're also going to do just some travel reporting, more on local things. Because, you know, there's sometimes, and I don't know about you guys, and I know you guys have your place away from here as well, but I like just to get away for the weekend. Like after the travel show yesterday, I drove up to Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And stayed at a little inn that I usually stay at, had a couple of drinks with friends.
Well, they should put you on the board in Wisconsin, seriously. Because every place you go, I'm like, I want to go there.
It's an escape.
I want to eat there.
One of our favorite places that sadly we haven't been for years, and we first heard about from Bob Collins, up in Door County, Wisconsin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
you ever been there?
I have been there, but years ago. That's not a frequent place for me.
It's little WGN. Oh, I tell you.
But one of the things I love about it is once you cross over into what they call the door, you are not going to see franchises. It's all mom and pop, local restaurants, local businesses.
But I seek that out anyway. It's just so much more fun to do it that way. But I'm a big supper club guy, so I love exploring that.
That's what we loved up in Door County, the supper clubs. Yeah. Now, some of them have changed and closed, but the bowling alley is where Bob went all the time. Yep. And it was so funny because he put them on the map to the point that when we would go up there, I would actually use a different name. Because people would recognize me.
I would say so.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd say, Steve, when you call my name out, you know, call me something else like Bunny.
I'm Diana. Bunny.
I want to be Bunny this weekend.
And what was the place? Was it Al Johnson's with the goats on the roof?
Yes.
Oh, man,
yes.
I love this. Have you been to the Duck Inn in Delavan?
No.
It's farmland Delavan. So you're going way outside that downtown area. Oh. It's like four houses sewn together and big screen door when you walk in. Nice. There's ducks everywhere. But the food is amazing because, you know, sometimes it's hit or miss when you go to these supper clubs. The food is outstanding. They make a great old fashioned and they do a grasshopper and a Brandy Alexander. They're using a wood bowl, wood spoon, and they're just folding it in until it is just that smooth and creamy. I have to have one after this.
You're making me hungry.
Drive a few by?
Well, usually before the Sinatra show, we do a few shots of Jack in honor of him because it makes it much more exciting for the show, but I won't do that tonight.
I know.
Have you ever seen, I stumbled across this Sinatra video within the past couple months. I think it was done sometime in the 60s. And Johnny, I showed it to you. It was backstage. This camera crew was following Sinatra. It was a special series of shows that was being done at one of the Las Vegas hotels.
Was it televised?
Yes, it was. And he's getting ready. Some comedian is on stage. But Sinatra's walking backstage, and you see him looking in a mirror and making sure his tux is okay. And then he stops by one of the bartenders backstage, and he gets a drink, mm-hmm, and he slowly walks to the he's behind the curtain, and he starts teasing whoever the comedian is on stage.
Love
and
then that.
He
comes, I love
it's just,
that.
It's wonderful backstage stuff.
That's old
you
school.
Know, you just reminded me, speaking of old school, have you ever seen Seth MacFarlane?
Oh, yeah. Perform live? Oh, at Ravini, I think.
Yeah.
I had him on the show, actually.
With his drink in hand. We've had him on the show, though, as Family Guy.
And, right.
And
yes.
We had Stewie visit us on the show, too, which was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. But it's like a different human being on stage doing that, right?
But he's so similar to Sinatra in that he respects the arrangers. He talks about the arrangers, the writers, and the whole thing. In fact, didn't he buy the Sinatra charts?
Yes, he did. He talked about it
the night
we saw him. Yes.
So he was, when we saw him up at Ravinia, he was doing the Sinatra charts.
Wow.
And it was wonderful.
I know. It's just it's such a different, like when you think about Seth MacFarlane and everything that he does, this is the last thing I would think he would do. And he has such a passion for it.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
And I love, remember he said, I've never had to spray my tuxedo with off.
I did that before
I stepped out on stage tonight.
Because there were so many bugs.
And the lights. Well, the lights.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Fabulous. I mean,
And remember, it was that night he had, he brought out the bass player.
That did Nancy Sinatra.
Those boots are made for walking.
Oh, wow, so that's cool.
Because he had this small, the bass player, the drummer, and the piano player were traveling with him, but he was working with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was just such a cool show.
Carol Kaye was the bass player you were trying to think
Carol
of earlier.
Kaye. Yes.
See, again, we prove that with our audience, we can make complete thoughts because they can fill in. It's like a game show.
Exactly. We don't need a computer.
No, we just lay out a couple of words and then somebody fills it in and then I read it. And then we
sounds
go,
like first word.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yay. We have the smartest audience in the world.
Love that.
That's what I love.
And
you know, from day one, when we had the capability of reading text, it was life changing.
Yeah.
Right? It truly was because there are people that could not hold on forever. You know, truckers
are working or whatever,
nurses, many of them.
Did I ever tell you that literally the night we knew the internet was going to change our lives and be a part of what we did forever?
Mm-hmm.
They had just installed computers at the old location in the Tribune Tower. Something happened. There was a bombing in
Jerusalem.
We got word about it. We're talking about it. I get an email from someone who is listening to us over in Jerusalem, a block away from where the bombing was. I sent them an email back, and I said, would you mind if we had our producer call you? We got the phone number, and we had a live on the scene report. And I realized
it was chilling.
This is going to make a huge difference
That's
in
amazing.
How we do this.
Yeah,
no
and this question. Was not a reporter who'd seen it all. This was a guy that was giving us just the most heartfelt. I mean, through tears, he was talking.
Incredible.
To us. Yeah.
Well, you said you were just mentioning some of the cities and so forth that are, you know, Colorado.
Colorado's checking in tonight. Yeah,
of course.
Indiana, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Thank you,
Wisconsin.
Dave, for putting us on the map.
That's awesome.
Now, if only you could get free Brandy Alexander.
Well, no payola. I will pay for my Yeah, absolutely. I'll pay for my grasshopper.
So
what are we going to be hearing on the Sinatra Hours this morning?
Well, you know what? It's going to be a little bit, what are we doing? We're doing some duets today, so I know we've got that sprinkled in. We do some specialty shows throughout the year, so whether it's an all-live show, all of his live performances, we do Frank Around the World, that's coming up in a couple weeks, where it's just songs about destinations in his music.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to like what I'm about to say.
Yeah, well, tell me.
Okay. I love Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
The only series of albums he ever did that I never liked were his duets albums. Why? Because, unlike Tony Bennett, he wasn't in the same studio with us.
That's very true. Yeah.
Somebody would be in California, he'd be in New York, and they would just...
Or they used an old recording.
Exactly.
They did that too, absolutely, no question.
And I just thought, you're so much better than that.
You know, I almost think it was for some of the singers of the day that just really wanted to sing with Frank, and it was an opportunity to bring those voices together, but I agree with you. It wasn't truly a live album. Some of them are, there's some great songs in there, but they were never in the same studio at the same time.
Well, you have your work cut out for you for tonight at 2 o'clock.
I do, yeah.
Your Sinatra Hours debut at 2 a.m., immediately following this show. And you won't be cut short by Blackhawks.
You want to take some of the show?
You could. You'll always be there at 2. And in February, when we're in Florida, you can travel with us on a Friday night to Florida.
See, there we go. I love that.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
There
you
go.
All right.
Thank you,
Dave.
Guys. Welcome back.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. We got a lot more coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by a man you've heard on our show for how many years?
Oh, 20 years.
At least.
Yes. We are his radio parents.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, Tom Appel. So we're going to be talking cars. One of the things we're doing tonight, we will be introducing you to people who are going to be a part of our show. They're going to be part of the cast of characters. They will not be on with us every week, but they're going to be part of our cast of characters. I'm going to shut up and let the news talk now. Well, we're playing that because, guess what? As we said before the news, we're going to be, throughout the show, introducing you to various people who are going to be a part of our cast of characters. Now, they will not all be on with us every week, but they'll be on with us at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And a little later tonight, we're going to be talking computers and showbiz and some other things.
And speaking of computers, Patrick Crispin will join us in the midnight hour, mm-hmm. and that is after his son, our grandson,
yep.
the one and only, yep. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Hello, Joseph. He's listening right now.
Hello, Joseph.
He's in Pasadena hanging on to every word. He's had a big day today. So Patrick will join us after Joseph has turned in for the night. So we just wanted to give him a little shout out.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking showbiz news with Gino, who will be stopping by once a month. Unless he's on some far-flung junket, he may call us who knows when. And we're going to always be here after the hockey game. So, for example, the next few weeks, the hockey game is going to be taking us up to about 10:30. But we'll be here right after that until 2 o'clock in the morning.
And our game plan is to do the shows live. Might there be some weird thing happens that we wind up replaying something? It's possible, but our game plan is mm-hmm. we're going to be here every Saturday night, like it or not.
Finally, we have something to do on Saturday night. Yay! Oh, yay! After 38 years of marriage, we've got someplace to go.
Well, actually, we should take you back. For people who don't know, this was really what Johnny and I did the first time that we were heard on this radio station yep. together was a Saturday night show in February of 1985.
And you know that our staff was not born when we were here.
Yeah.
The people that are running this radio station behind the scenes were not born.
In fact, I will never forget this. The very first Saturday night show that we did, and you can appreciate this, Andrew, the very first Saturday night show we didn't have any producer.
Oh, that's right.
We were on, during the commercials, Johnny would run to the other side of the glass, and she would
take the phone calls. And then people would want to talk to me on that side. I'd go, no, you have to hold on.
I'd be queuing things up, taking care of the records and the commercials and things. And then
sit down breathlessly. We'd come out of a commercial break.
And that was one of the first major negotiations we had with management. Who would say, you know, if we're going to do this,
we
kind of need a producer.
Remember, I would call guests, and you'd say, get in here. I said, but they're still talking to me.
Yep.
They think they're on the radio. You got to get them on hold. That was very funny. Very funny. And that was February of 1985.
Yep.
How things have changed. We're in this palatial estate up here on the 18th floor. And we get to talk to people that we got to know through our radio show.
Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Tom, we were just trying to think, how long have we been talking to you? It's been, what, over 20 years?
Maybe just under 20 years. Probably mm-hmm. like 18 years, I think. I came down there first with
Frank Pyler.
With Frank Pyler. And eventually that slow thing he did where he retired very, 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 very slowly over a long period of time. But eventually there was a time when I was coming down alone.
Yes.
To WGN Studios.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as I like to say, we are your radio parents because you're heard on the radio quite a bit these days and you have a very successful podcast. But it all started on our show because you actually called us first as a listener, right?
I did, way back when. That was in the 80s, yes. Probably 85-ish.
It was about some music thing or something?
Wasn't it Elton John you called about?
No, it was Paul McCartney, and you guys were talking about how bad early CDs sounded.
Oh, that's
yes.
right.
Yes.
That's right. We went kicking and screaming from vinyl to CDs.
Because
I had just picked up Wings Across America, and yes. it sounded terrible on CD.
Oh, that's so funny. It all comes back to me. And I think you were working at a gas station then, weren't you?
I just left the gas station and started working at a market research. Your memory is incredible.
Oh, my
Johnny.
Gosh. Well, you know, yeah. You're one of my kids, Tom. And Tom, in all these years, he continues to... winter and summer.
Well, my favorite picture
baffles us.
My favorite picture of Tom. In fact, I should steal this from your Facebook page and put it on ours. It was one of the coldest days
yes.
a couple weeks ago, and Tom is just getting ready to go outside, and he's got his shorts. I mean,
just shorts like a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah,
that's it. And he would come into our studio, and there
it was
below zero.
We've been friends for a long time, Tom. I have never understood your thermostat.
I just assume I'm just very well insulated. There's no other explanation.
He runs hot, you know. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, thank you for agreeing to join us once a month and talk cars.
Oh, my pleasure.
Because there's so much to talk about when it comes to cars, especially after the last 2.5 years.
Yeah. And let me turn on the blatant plug light for a second. If people want to follow you, listen to you, get in touch with you, how do they do any or all of the above?
You can do all of that at consumerguide.com. If you're not looking for a new car, just go straight to our blog. There's a button there, a tab, and that's where the fun stuff is. If you're looking for a car, there's some serious car stuff right there on our homepage. And you can download the Car Stuff podcast, which has been on a hiatus for a few weeks, but we actually start recording next week again. You can download that anywhere you find better podcasts.
That's exactly right. The better podcasts. See, they've got
the better ones.
Right.
And again, blatant plug, I was checking out your website. You made some changes to it. Looks good.
Yeah, making some changes. Big changes coming in a few weeks. So, we're updating everything.
Now he's teasing us, too, on top of everything else.
Well, speaking of teases, we're going to take a break, and then we'll get back and talk cars with Tom. So stay with us.
You are just so weird.
You're just now discovering that? How long have we been married?
I just had an epiphany. And yesterday was the epiphany. Wow. Tom Appel is with us. We are talking cars. Tom, this is going to haunt you forever. You know that.
It is, yeah. Yeah. You can't be a car guy and not know something like this, and I'm paying the penalty.
You are.
I would never rub it in, Tom.
He actually agreed to take back the Saturday night show just so he could do that.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk cars. People are texting with questions at 312-981-7200. You can also talk to Tom at that number, 312-981-7200. Little car news, if we can start there. Here we are at the beginning of the year, and the first part of the new year, we always talk about what the automotive industry did the previous year, and it looks like it was actually a good year for General Motors, right?
It was, and this is a funny story because it was a very, very bad year for General Motors last year. And one of the things that happened was that GM was caught blindsided a little bit by the chip shortage.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as simple as that. They chose to build fewer vehicles and to allocate their chips to vehicles that used more chips but were higher profit. But just the same, they ran into chip shortage issues and did build fewer cars. And for the first time in, I think it was 90 years, General Motors was not the best-selling manufacturer in the U.S. last year, 2021. It was Toyota, but for 2022, they recovered that and actually had a very strong year. They were up 2.5%. And if you discount Tesla, were one of the most successful manufacturers last year.
You mean Tesla was one of the top three most successful?
Tesla sales were up dramatically. Tesla sold about 500,000 cars in the U.S. and 1,400,000 globally.
Whoa!
It's so fascinating.
It's too late for that company to fail.
It's fascinating.
It has unfailed.
To watch what's going on with Tesla because their cars are selling, but their stock, because of Musk, is going up and down and up and down and up and down. But
well,
yeah, the stock multiple for Tesla was never realistic anyway, and it was strange because you had Tesla being worth more money than the companies like General Motors and Toyota, and it didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't selling that many cars, and there were some questions about their profitability for a long time too. Clearly, they've gotten past some of that stuff, but there was no reason why the company was worth what it was the public had evaluated it as, and it has plummeted this year, and so I think it's unlikely to go back to anything like what it was before.
I think at one point it was up 900%.
Yeah.
Which is just mind-boggling.
Crazy.
Yeah. I'm going to take you back to Toyota, which took a tiny slip behind General Motors. Is the Camry mm-hmm. still the number one sedan in this country?
Oh, it's probably the number one sedan. You caught me off guard with that question, but I suspect that it is.
Mm-hmm.
The number one vehicle remains the Toyota RAV4, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, so you've got a compact crossover. And that happened to almost every manufacturer. That happened at Honda, too, where the CR-V now sells better than the Accord.
What about pickup trucks? Aren't the American-made pickup trucks still...
Ford is still doing pretty well with that, aren't they?
Yeah, Ford, the Ford F-150, again, the best-selling vehicle in the United States, and I think they got very close to 700,000 units, and given the shortage of everything, that was quite a feat.
Yeah.
Also last year, interesting, when we talk about General Motors issue, Ram outsold the Silverado in 2021, but the Silverado is back on top for 2022, back on top of the Ram. It's number two to the F-150.
Can I just go on record as saying the Ram truck is my fantasy vehicle? I would never get out of my vehicle if I had a... I am serious.
But you'd have to have a red one.
Oh, I got... With that... Oh, that lovely leather interior. I lust after those vehicles. And every time we had one to road test, Steve would look... He'd go, where have you been? You've been gone all day. I just drive around, blow them a horn, waving at people in my Ram truck.
Yeah, it's a delightful thing to drive.
It
the Ram,
is.
Apart from its size, there's really no compromise, and fuel economy, there's no compromises you make. You can equip it very luxurious. The power delivery is wonderful. Oh. The interior is great. And the infotainment and touchscreen stuff works really, really well.
Crazy good. I mean, it is really a rolling yeah. office if that's what you need.
Yeah,
and
it is.
One of my little victories was when I was road testing it for a week, if I could drive and never drive up on a curb. When I made it, because it's so big, it's easy to get that back end up
sure.
over the curb as you're making a corner. What are you driving these days? What are you road testing?
One of the things I drove very recently that I just finished the review of was the 2023 Hyundai Palisade Calligraphy.
Oh, yeah.
And this is topical because we were talking about the Ram, which is really a luxury vehicle when properly equipped. And the Hyundai Palisade, which is their midsize crossover, can now be equipped to be extremely luxurious to the point where it's convincingly luxurious. And it's somehow people don't cross-shop Hyundai against things like Lexus or Infiniti, but they could and they should.
Hmm. Why is it Palisades Calligraphy? I love the name Calligraphy. I think that's a beautiful name, but why is it double named?
One of the things that happened when they launched this vehicle back in 2019 is that people were buying the top trim levels. It was roomy and big and very nicely appointed, and Hyundai realized that they could sell a more luxurious version.
Oh.
So on top of the Limited, which had been the previous top version, mm-hmm. they launched the Calligraphy, which sounds classy to me, but that mm-hmm. that's their new top trim level, and it is convincingly nice inside.
Now, I'm going to hold you on Hyundai for a second, because anytime we talk Hyundai, we have to, for a second, pause and talk about the problems because of the YouTube videos and people being able to get into Hyundais and Kias and steal them. And some people are of the impression that this is all Hyundai products, but correct me if I'm wrong, it is limited to some specific models and years. Am I correct on that?
It is, yeah. And the list is extensive and complicated, but it is limited to mostly the smaller, all cars and the smaller crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to vehicles who have a key start. If you have push-button start, this doesn't apply to you.
So,
but what were the years?
Like the 21, 22?
It goes back as far as 2015 on some Kias, but mostly I think it's 2019 forward. For most Hyundais.
Okay, because and my concern was, and Steve, I talked to you about this before, was the fact that maybe the criminal doesn't know what year this vehicle is, so they break into it anyway, and then they find out that it is a push-button start, And that's the one that you don't want, right? The push button start, or do you want?
No, you want the push button start.
Not
yes.
The, okay.
Yes, right. You want it.
All right. But, and then so they get angry because they can't steal this vehicle, so they trash it anyway.
That's the horrible thing about this, and I'd spoken to a representative of the Chicago Police Department, and so many of these thefts aren't for any sort of financial gain. They're just for joyrides.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of sense or logic to what's happening there. But, yeah, it seems like the people who steal these cars are perfectly happy to trash them, even if they can't drive it.
Yeah.
Your partner in crime, Jill Simonillo, just had an interesting post about what was the Kia she drove. It was the hybrid that she said she could drive from Chicago to Indianapolis and back without on just one fill-up.
Yeah. It's beautiful, too, the vehicle.
Oh. Yeah, it was. I believe she was driving the Hyundai Sportage. Kia Sportage.
Yes. The Kia Sportage. It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gorgeous vehicle.
Very nice compact crossover. It's available now in hybrid and plug-in hybrid trim. But the fuel economy is very good on the hybrid, and the whole hybrid plug-in thing works so well on the plug-in hybrid version. It's an incredibly good vehicle. The only thing is, the key is you have to plug it in, because it doesn't make sense financially if you don't.
Hmm.
Now, again, I'm going to hold you because some people are texting and saying, difference in hybrid and plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, so hybrid, I think most people now know how that works, and that's simply electric augmentation of the gasoline operation. So there's a battery on board, it drives a motor, and that battery is recharged when you brake. Plug-in hybrid, bigger battery, you plug it in to charge that bigger battery, and what you get is a certain amount of electric range, and it operates just like a regular electric vehicle. But when you run out of battery, it becomes a hybrid vehicle, so there's still an engine and all that on board, and you still get good hybrid fuel economy.
Okay. Because you ain't born knowing this stuff.
That's why we turn to the experts,
yeah,
like Tom Appel. And we've got some good questions coming in, too. Back to the business of the pickup trucks, a listener had texted to say that they had ordered a pickup truck, and when they went to pick it up, it did not have all the options that they had expected on
Chip
the vehicle.
Shortage.
And is that going to change in the new year? Tom, do you have a crystal ball? Do you think that this is going to change where the chip shortage?
Yeah, that seems to be changing. In fact, interestingly, General Motors had a huge number. And part of the reason their sales surged in the last quarter was they finally got chips for, I think it was 80 or 90,000 parked Silverados that were waiting for chips. So those got finished, the build on those finished, and they delivered those. But I think we're going to be seeing less and less in that. Now, I'm driving right now at the office, just got in a Mercedes-Benz EQB, which is the electric compact crossover. And there are four options on that vehicle, or four features on that vehicle that were removed, and there were credit delete, there's credits on the Monroney for those missing features.
Was it like $50?
One of them is $800. And
really?
I'm not a list of what's been removed from the car.
Oh, because we were car shopping, like, and it literally they would have $50 for the automatic lift gate.
The automatic lift gate, yeah.
Yeah.
$50, and we thought, what?
What? Huh? $50? Yeah.
Well, we got to take a quick break, because we're talking cars with Tom Appel. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We'll get back with Tom Appel in just a couple minutes. But we've been kind of watching the weather, because the forecasts were sort of, it's going to snow, it's not going to snow, what's going to happen this weekend?
I just want some sunshine. That's all I want.
And we figured this gave us an excuse to talk to a guy, since we now have our own radio show on a weekend, a guy that we watch on the weekends, and we've wanted an excuse to meet him and get him on the radio. And he's with WGN, and he's Mike Jansen. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you this evening?
Uh-oh. I think everything just melted. The tower melted with Mike's voice. Mike, it's a pleasure to meet you. We are big fans, and thank you for stopping by and joining us tonight. Are we ever going to see the sun? That's what I need to know.
It looks like probably on Monday we'll become partly cloudy. The problem is we are into this cycle now where we keep the clouds around during the day so we don't warm up. And at night, the clouds stay around so we don't cool off a great deal. So we got this, and we actually have a temperature inversion. So you go higher up in the atmosphere and you'll actually find warmer air, which is different than what you normally would find. And so the clouds just get trapped and we can't get rid of them. The good news, I guess, if there is anything, because we don't cool off very much at night, We've actually been warmer than average. But, and this was something that I found quite interesting today, was that so far in the first 7 days of the month, we have had roughly 90 minutes of sunshine.
Okay.
Sounds right to me. That's why we're leaving our Christmas decorations up.
Yes.
Yeah, the way it feels like the holidays are just going to continue for quite some time, right? Because we just can't get rid of the cloud cover, and but we haven't had any snow. So you don't have to shovel the clouds, I guess. It's about the only thing.
Right. But we did have that period where it was kind of snaky in some areas because the rain was slicking up the road. That's bad news. And we had fog a couple mornings. That's also really bad news. But at least we're not shoveling it. So that's good news.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, we did have that snow and that cold right before the Christmas holiday weekend. And, of course, it was very cold. But that didn't last. I mean, it literally was a matter of days, and we were already well above average, talking about getting into the 50s, and all the snow was gone. And at times, I felt like I could look out my window, and I think my lawn may be confused on what exactly is going on.
Like,
almost
instead of brown.
It's weird. It is really weird. Yeah. And we also have little animals that don't normally frolic this time of the year. They're usually huddled in their little... But we got a bunch of rabbits running up and down our street. And I said, I know, Steve, they think they're going to chew into my Christmas lights and make me very angry.
<You know? laughs> Oh, I took advantage of one of the warmer days there right after the holidays. Mm. I went out there and got the lights off the trees and everything right after New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's been one of those where you're not needing the super heavy coat. We haven't had those really cold days. We've done that as of recently, have these relatively mild winters where you maybe stick a few cold weeks in there. That'd be about it. You don't have to go back but a year or two. And, you know, we had a very mild winter, and then we had the last week of January and the first 2 weeks of February where it basically snowed every day. Mm-hmm. And while it did that, we ended up putting almost as much snow in those 3 weeks as you would an entire season. We were running out of places to put the snow, and then it turned around and warmed up, and that was it. And that basically was our winter season. So maybe we'll do that again this year. We cram all of winter into 3 weeks. I don't know if that's what people want. I actually have this feeling now from running into more people very much like yourselves. They would really like to see the sunshine. And if we are not going to see, you know, if we didn't see much snow right around the holidays, now that I think everybody's ready to jump into spring, but we are just getting into the heart of our coldest time of year. We got a lot of winter left, as everyone around here knows. It can sometimes linger until at least the Cubs home opener. That's when we
Well,
Mike, you got to have something nasty for most times.
Yeah.
For a good deal.
Well, Mike, I know you are the expert, but I have a prediction, and I have a question for you. How long have you been in the Chicago area?
I have been working at WGN for 12 years, moved back here in 2008. I actually grew up in Kankakee County.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I'm very familiar with the area. We're growing up here.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because over the years, I have discovered there is one thing, one time of the year that I can predict the weather, and it is February with the arrival of the Chicago Auto Show. We are going to have
a
hellacious
blizzard.
Snow blizzard storms.
Always a blizzard.
It's going to be the Snowmageddon for the Auto Show.
That's right.
It makes the folks at Coat Check work a lot harder because everybody's coming in with about six layers on. Everything is wet when they first walk in because they're kicking snow off of their feet and everything. We've had two occasions where you've been right around Groundhog Day, where it's snowed to beat the band, where you've had blizzards going on, and that's been in the last 10 years. And so, February can be January is, annually or on average our coldest and our snowiest months, but boy, February can really just knock us around. And I think part of it is as well, if your January has been relatively quiet, you get into February and I think sometimes we start to get a little, we're thinking everything's okay, our guard goes down just little bit later, we get into the year. You're like, oh, well, you know, January wasn't too bad. We were warmer than average, whatever it may be. And then here comes February with that reminder that, you know, spring isn't here until the third week of March. So just a little reminder there that it can be so unpleasant. But, yeah, hopefully this year, maybe this year, you know, the crowds, you know, are going to be getting bigger and bigger, you know, after returning after the pandemic and everything. You'd hope that they'll have just wall-to-wall folks at the auto show, and they won't be walking in looking like the Michelin man because they have to be coats on.
I love that description, but it's so accurate.
It is, especially with puffer coats, big old puffer coats. Yep. Well, Mike Jensen, a pleasure to talk with you on the radio. Thank you for stopping by tonight.
And I hope we can say hello in person sometime.
Well, that would be great. I certainly do appreciate you having me on. Have yourself a good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Jensen. You can follow him. I'm on his Twitter page right now. It's twitter.com/MikeJensenWX. And he's got his 7-day forecast.
And I'm not kidding. The tower just kind of leaned a little bit when he started talking. Yeah. That man, when he's on television, I giggle every time because I know somebody goes, whoa. Whoa, Mike's in the
and
house.
And the woofers in your speakers yes. start to rattle because they realize Mike Jensen is is speaking.
Well, we are here till 2 o'clock in the morning. We got a whole bunch of ground to cover, and we have waiting in the wings our buddy Tom Appel, our car guy. We're going to get to some car news, car leases, and specific car information. 312-981-7200 is the number that you're texting and calling, so stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, Jackie Bronson, Rocket 88. Actually, it was Ike Turner's band, and Ike was never happy because Sam Phillips and Chess Records, they both put the name Jackie Bronson on the label, and Ike Turner was not mentioned, and Ike was a very unhappy camper for a long time.
There's a lot that Ike was unhappy about in his life, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Like his wife and her success and everybody else's success.
And Andrew correctly reminded me, it's Jackie Brinston.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking then came Bronson, Michael Parks.
He was actually the saxophone player in the band, but he was a better singer than Ike.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me jumping in.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, with a cast of characters, we can come up with complete thoughts.
Well, you had my attention when you start playing Rocket 88. Maybe the first rock and roll song of all time.
Yeah.
And the first one with fuzz tone because they had a broken amplifier. So
listen to you.
And I wonder if you would agree. I think there is a book that no one has ever written. It would be the connection between Sam Phillips and the Chess Brothers. Some of the records that were recorded down in Memphis, released here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had a connection that went for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's and they were fighting the major companies, too.
Yeah, they were small. They were little. They couldn't really compete with them. But they had the talent scouts. Ike Turner was a talent scout for Sam Phillips for a long time, too. He, for all of his shortcomings, and we all know those, he was very important in rock and roll and music history down there in the Delta.
Yeah. Absolutely. See, we digress, but we will do that a lot.
I'm sorry.
That's why we have five hours.
Do not say you're sorry. That's what this show is going to be all about.
I just had to jump in.
Please.
And I'm glad you did. And remind me next week, because, maybe we'll have time in the next hour. Online, Ron did a real interesting post about Jimmy Reed, and I promised to tell him a story about Jimmy Reed. So we'll get to that a little
later. And John Lee Hooker.
And John Lee Hooker, yes.
Yes.
But now we segue back to Tom Appel. You still there, Tom?
I am indeed.
Good. But you have an interesting library of car songs, too. Sometimes we should let you pick the car songs for our bumps next time we have you on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Well, Tom Appel is our car guy. Can I take you to a text from a listener who has a 36-month car lease that is going to end in 4 months? Car prices have skyrocketed since my lease started. Boy, isn't that the truth in the 36 months.
Yeah.
So, Tom, do you have any suggestions on getting a good deal on my next lease?
No, and the likelihood of getting a good deal on a lease right now is not very good. One of the things, leasing consumed about 30-35% of the market when things were normal. And things aren't normal now, and two things are happening to sort of depress that section of the purchase Spectrum. And part of what's happening is that manufacturers, especially luxury manufacturers, used to hide discounts in leases by what they called subventing the loan, or artificially raising the price of the trade-in at the end of the lease. And that was very popular with luxury vehicles, and that would drive down the cost of the lease. But the other thing that's happening now, too, is that manufacturers and lenders don't want to lease so much because they're concerned about residual values. Things are very expensive now. They may not be very expensive in 36 or 24 or 36 months, and they might get burned with a high residual. And if they don't go with the high residual, it's just going to be an expensive lease that no one wants.
Now, jargon alert, what do you mean by high residual?
That's the established value of the vehicle at the end of the lease, and that's how. So you have your initial price and your residual price, and the gap is what your payments are based on. Mm-hmm. And if that residual is too low, your payments are very high, mm-hmm. and it's just not a good climate for leasing right now, unfortunately.
Am I correct that this is, for a while, we've been in a period where whether it is a new car or a used car, chances are very good you're going to pay sticker price or real close to it, mm-hmm. because you're not getting a whole lot of discounts right now.
That dovetails perfectly with a texter who said, is it possible to even dicker with car salespeople nowadays? Because apparently this person's been out car shopping and they just don't want to hear it. You know, it's what's on the sticker. That's it.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning of the year, something like 90% of vehicles were going for sticker price or higher. That number has slipped a little because the inventory of vehicles on the lots has grown. So there's a little bit more choice out there, and prices are just a little bit more negotiable, but they're still high. And if you think the price is too high, even in this climate, just go to another dealer, because you can always negotiate, or at least try.
But isn't one of the odd things about the chip shortage, the chip shortage can actually help you negotiate a lower than sticker price if the car you're looking at doesn't have everything you wanted on the car and that was listed to be on the car, even though they're saying, well, I'll give you $50 off here, $50 off there, or whatever, you can still negotiate a little bit there using that as leverage.
Hmm.
Sure, yeah. Anything you can find as leverage, you should take to the battle, I think. But that is a good point. There are vehicles out there that should be worth just a little bit less because they're not exactly what you want. Something's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, yeah, I would absolutely take that.
Shouldn't you be able to take some depreciation for a 22 now that we're in 23? Because we found when we were car shopping in December, it was all about a brand new car, and it was a 22. And mm-hmm. we had one dealer say, well, it was just built in September of this year, so it is a new car. I said, yeah, but it's still, when I drive it off the lot, it's a year old in January.
You know, funny problem. Johnny, you've got a funny problem there, too. Lenders are going to lend you less money on a year-old car, regardless of whether or not it's brand new.
Really?
Yes, you may have to come up with more down payment in that particular circumstance. So you're hoping you can get a deal to compensate for a car being 12 months old, but that may not always be the case, and that might be a hard car to sell and a hard car to buy.
That was one of the many reasons that we were glad the car we wound up buying was a 23.
Yeah.
Because it took that out of the equation.
Well, after a couple of months of shopping, I felt like I just wanted a 23 at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not going to settle for a car that's a year old. And I understand if it was just made. I understand that completely. The things that I did not understand, and I allow me to just vent for a moment, because I know the industry is changing dramatically, and I'm sure that there are dealers listening, and there's some wonderful people out there, but you need to dress like a professional.
Yep.
I am sick of going into a dealership to pay an enormous amount of money for a vehicle and talk to a person who's wearing clothes that you would wear to the gym. I think that's inappropriate. And please turn down the damn music. I do not understand the music, and I love music, but why is it at, we went to four different dealerships, and the music was so annoying. At one point, we were yelling over music to talk to a salesperson.
And the receptionist would say, what?
What?
And yet she refused to turn the... And again, you're talking to two people who love music, all kinds of music.
Yeah.
But in that environment, kind of turn it down just a little bit.
Just a little bit, so you don't have to shout.
And the other thing, and we've talked about this before, we go in as a couple, talk to both of us.
Yes.
there are still dealerships, and we walked out of some where they would be talking to me and not paying attention to anything that Johnny had to say.
Well, how about a friend of ours put on Facebook, she took her Volt. Volt requires oil change, right? Mm-hmm. She took her Volt in to get an oil change, and the guy behind the counter says, oh, basically, if you read between the lines, oh, dear, there's no oil in your car. And she said, excuse me, I have a Volt, as a V as in Victor, not a Bolt, B as in boy. And he just kind of chuckled, oh. And she says, I was seething mad because the next guy that walked up to that very same man didn't know what that light was on his dash. And that was his bright light indicator. But he didn't laugh at him. And she just ranted, and I said, yeah, sing it, girl, sing it.
One of the other things I saw, and I've seen this in a couple discussion groups online, some people are wondering, should they buy a hybrid vehicle? Should they go with an electric vehicle? Should they buy a regular gas-powered vehicle? What is happening with the industry? And if you buy that gasoline-powered vehicle, is that going to depreciate more in a few years if the industry is moving toward all battery-powered vehicles? What's your take?
That is a great question, and actually I've seen that as one of the reasons why gasoline-powered vehicles are more difficult to lease right now, to stay topical, and that's that there's some concern about the future value of gasoline-powered vehicles. Right now, it's looking like demand for electric vehicles may increase dramatically in the near future. People are, in fact, warming up to them, and it's possible that trying to resell a gasoline-powered vehicle in a few years might be difficult. That might drive down the price.
Hmm. Interesting, at the CES this week, some of the car news that they had was the Alexa will be able to find your charging station for you. You just say, Alexa, find me a charging station. And I think, oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The other cool thing I thought from CES was, I think it's a BMW that will change colors. So if you don't know exactly what color you want, it will change colors for you.
Wouldn't that make it...
Yeah, the BMW... It's the BMW iVision D-E-E, and yeah, it's fun to watch.
Wouldn't that make it even harder to find where you parked your car in the parking lot?
It's digital emotional something or other, D-E-E.
Experience,
yes. I love that.
What happens when you drive it through the car wash?
It's like rainbow colors. It's wild. It's very...
Those colors run. I don't know.
Yeah. It makes me think of the Jetsons. You know, I recently read 100 years ago, there were predictions made for this year, what we would be doing in this year. And it's funny that there was absolutely convinced that we would be flying around in cars. I think we're pretty advanced, but I don't see that happening anytime
soon. But oddly enough, I've seen, and maybe you have, Tom, some things online where that actually is in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are different car manufacturers dabbling in this. I don't see this as any sort of reasonable thing for the United States, but you could see it happening in places like the Middle East or places where there's sparser population, where that sort of thing might work. But yeah, ever since drone technology caught on, it seems like it's important for a manufacturer to pretend like they're working on flying cars, like stockholders like that or something.
I love that attitude too. A listener says it's funny about the model year argument with the dealer. If you trade in a vehicle, they will use that 2022 and deduct more.
Yeah, they'll ding you for it, but they won't give you anything for it.
I don't want them to ding my car.
Well, Tom is kind enough to join us once a month, and we will take all your calls and your texts, and we'll get down to whatever's new in the car world. And Tom is always in a different car, so he'll tell us about what that particular car is, and we'll ask you to listen to his podcast, too.
And again, if people want to follow you or get in touch with you, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, go to consumerguide.com, and I'm Car Guy Tom. Car_guy_Tom on Twitter.
All righty. Thank you. _Tom.
_me, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And remember, it's a four-note Cadillac horn.
Oh, stop
Tom.
It. Oh,
I'm writing that down. I'm writing that
okay.
down.
And your assignment, you are picking the automotive bumps for the next time we talk to you.
Awesome.
All
awesome.
Right. Thank you, Tom.
Looking forward to that.
Good
Thanks,
night.
Tom. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Well, welcome in on a Saturday night. I am Johnny. He is Steve. And this is WGN Radio. You can get to us at 312-981-7200. And I want to give a shout out to Colorado and Maryland and Washington and Wisconsin and Florida, all checking in on the text line to say that they're listening tonight. And even Hampshire, Illinois is listening. The mayor wow. of Hampshire is tuned in. Right, Mike? Wink, wink. Aurora is listening. My old stomping grounds, and we appreciate all your wonderful texts to the listener who said we're like a pair of comfy slippers. What a nice compliment. And then there's sweet Becky, who's been hanging on just to say hi. And Becky, how are you tonight? Hello, Becky.
Oops, what happened to Becky? And just as we went to her, and she was holding on for so long.
Yes, bless her heart.
And literally, we went to her.
She got scared.
And the phone line went blank.
Oh,
Becky, we hardly knew ye.
Andrew, that's sad.
Oh.
She said, no, I'm just listening. I'll hang on. Well, anyway, thank you, Becky, for your...
Look, I think we may have her back.
Golly.
Okay.
Did you drop her? Are you the one that did it?
I...
Are you sure? Did you whoops her?
I don't think I whoops her.
You didn't whoops her?
Okay. Okay. Becky, did I whoops you?
No, you didn't. I've been listening to the program. It's just been fantabulous.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank
Becky.
You. You said that just the
I
way
feel
we wrote
like
it.
I'm extended family, and I feel like I'm going to go back to like the 80s where I learned computers from Pastor Crispin.
That's right. Yes, didn't we all learn computers? Because remember, we used to say, you ain't born knowing this stuff.
And Patrick's going to be right. joining us in the next hour.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And I would love to have us get a lady like we had up in Alaska. That was the engineer.
Oh, our buddy Fran Tate.
Fran Tate. Yes. Sadly,
yes,
Fran.
Fran Tate.
Yes.
Sadly,
maybe
Fran
we
passed.
Can find another person out there that's similar to...
Oh, no, no, no.
No, there was only one Fran Tate,
yeah, Becky,
and sadly she passed away a few years ago.
They broke the mold.
I know she did.
Yeah.
I know she did. Well, have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
And I'm very grateful that you're back on board.
Oh, bless your heart.
Well,
thank you, Becky.
And we're very grateful that you're,
you're
very
listening.
Patient and hanging out with us.
And I would like to mention, too, because a couple of people have texted about Fran. And every time we do this show, they'll ask us, what's up with Fran Tate? And she was quite the character. Oh, my gosh.
And we should explain, again, for people who are new to us. Fran Tate, one night years ago, it was really, really cold. And we said, well, you know, it is so cold here. This has to be the coldest place. And we found out there was one place that was colder.
Part of the United States.
It was Barrow, Alaska.
Top of the world.
So we called up to Barrow, Alaska.
To the police department.
And the police department said, you need to talk to Fran Tate. We said, we never heard. We don't know who Fran Tate is. Well, come to find out, Fran is the only guest that Johnny Carson ever canceled all of the rest of his guests for on The Tonight Show.
And the best of Carson, you see her, too.
Fran was an engineer who went up to work on the Alaska pipeline. When she got up there in Barrow, Alaska, she found out that they didn't have any restaurants, so she started a restaurant. They didn't have any good water delivery systems, so yeah. She started that.
She had the sanitation department.
Yes.
The elephant pot sanitation department. So she, as she'd like to say, she put it in you and then took it out of you.
And we would, she was such a wonderful character. We wound up calling her about once a month. Our listeners became so enamored of her that they started sending her gifts.
She had an actual display case in her white tablecloth restaurant, Pepe's, north of the border, and it was filled with items that people in the lower 48 had sent her.
And Fran was the kind of person that could never take anything from anyone without giving back. So she called us one time and she said, I want to pay your listeners back. And she said, I want to do something for you and for your listeners. She said, what's your favorite charity? And we said, well, Children's Memorial Hospital. Fran, at her own expense, flew down from Barrow, Alaska, dressed up as the Easter Bunny, and we took Fran around to the kids in Children's Memorial Hospital, and she gave out presents to the kids.
That she had purchased. Hundreds, yeah. Hundreds of plush Easter bunnies. And we just followed her with a wagon, and the Easter Bunny hopped floor after floor after floor in every room. And it was just amazing, and that was her way of saying thank you to Chicago.
And we did this for several years
we
in a
did.
Row.
Yeah.
And Fran was just a wonderful, wonderful person. And again, sadly, there was a fire at her restaurant years ago, and she had problems with diabetes.
She openly
sadly,
talked about
she passed away.
Yeah, she talked about her diabetes on the radio and just warning people about how serious diabetes was. And after the fire took her restaurant, her health was, well, it was kind of tenuous for a while there. And then finally she just said, yeah. This is it. I've had a good life, yeah. A really good life. She was married multiple times. There's a great book written about Fran called Tacos on the Tundra.
And I think you can still find the book.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, thank you for asking about her, because it's nice to remember her and to remind you of the really special people that were a part of our show for all those years.
I think I'm doing an audible. We're a little behind schedule, so why don't we take a break now, and then we'll get to our next guest coming out of the break. So stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I just realized I got the shakes playing that song.
I know.
Because, again, for those of you who are new to the show and don't know the history, years ago, 1990,
yep.
We were going on our first vacation over to England. As we were getting ready to leave, that's the last song we played before we were going to leave.
This is true.
And we found out later that a listener had a very strange feeling when we played that song, and she wanted to try to get to us. She wasn't able to. Long story short, our second day in England, we're on a double-decker bus. Johnny gets off the bus. I'm in mid-step trying to get off the bus. Apparently, the driver thought the bus was empty. He floors it, pulls out. I'm thrown down, and I now have three screws in my hip.
Broken hip, broken yep. elbow. And the listener wrote to us, and we got the letter when we got back. She said, when I heard that song, a chill just came over me. I just knew something bad was going to happen. So from then on, we said, when we were traveling, anybody got any bad vibes?
Yeah.
Let us know before we go, please.
But speaking of bad vibes,
yeah.
There are some weird vibes coming out of England these days. And particularly, I believe it's going to be on 60 Minutes Sunday night. We're
yes.
going to see an interview with Harry about his new book.
His new book called Spare. And anytime anything coming out of England gets our attention, we have to go to our England watcher, the guy that lives in England when he's not in Chicago. It just happens that he came back from England today. He is Fred Weintraub. Fred, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Did you get a little bit of a jet lag from just getting home?
Just a bit. Got off the plane a couple of hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And true story, I was in a cab, and cab driver said, what are you doing tonight? And I said, well, in a couple hours, I'm going to be on with Steve and Johnny at WGN. And a smile went over this cab driver's face. And as I've listened to parts of your first 2 hours, I think that a lot of people in Chicagoland and around the country really do have a smile on their face, because you guys are back on Saturday night, and it's really good. And
oh,
it's good
oh,
for,
thank you.
For
thank
a toxic world that we're in at times, you make life a lot better for a
oh,
lot of people,
boy.
And you should know that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of toxin and toxic relationships, holy smoke, could they get any worse between Harry and William and this new book, Spare, that was leaked? I guess it was leaked in Spain. They put it out on the bookshelves when it wasn't supposed to be put out until Monday.
And so, you have to wonder, was that actually on purpose, or what's going on here?
Yeah. What are you hearing when you were over there about the release of the book?
Well, what you really hear from the standpoint of when you're in the UK is people are really sick of Meghan and Harry, because they think that they've gone about things in a totally wrong, disrespectful way, disrespectful to the late queen, disrespectful to the now king, and I think people are fed up. Now, as I say that to you, in putting it in perspective, the UK has its own set of problems right now, because everything is going on strike. When you see a headline in the UK that says, if you're having a heart attack or a stroke, get into a cab or see if you could walk to a hospital. Those are really serious problems. The dirt that Harry and Meghan and the swirling of gossip that's going around is, you know, you've got to put that all in perspective. That all being said, you know, Harry's coming out with his book. They talk a big game about they want to lead a private life in California. And if you want to lead a private life, you're entitled to do that. And if you don't want to be a part of the royal family and you want your privacy, you're also entitled to do that. But then you don't go to Netflix and cut a deal for £80 million, which is $100 million. And he's going to generate another $20 to $40 million on four books that he's committed to write. So you got to think. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do.
And well, you know that the part of the deal had to be, okay, we'll sign the contract, but you got to give us some dirt. And if he didn't want to come up with some dirt, and I don't know, obviously I don't know anything about his personal finances, but I don't think he needed the money. Why do you think he decided to do this?
Well, I think it does go back to the fact that Harry is, you know, he's scarred, and rightfully so, because the royal family has to act a certain way in public. And when you go back to the funeral of his mother, and you can read it in the excerpts of the book now, that he was not allowed to cry when he was meeting the public and when he was walking behind the casket. The same thing is true for William. And literally until they were in a private setting where Charles and the two boys buried Diana, they could not let out their emotions. So now you get this whole feeling of he's had this built up trauma throughout his whole life. And now it's coming out in ways that it's coming out in a book. It's coming out in an interview. And the saddest part about the whole thing is whether you're on the side of these guys are making a ton of money and they're branding and they're telling their side of their part of the story. They're not ripping, you know, you look at the royal family in two ways. In one way, you're looking at it as a business, and then you're looking at it as a family. Mm-hmm. From a business standpoint, Harry is very naive if he thinks that he or Meghan can do anything to bring down the royal family, or anything they say is going to shake the royal family. Is it going to cause Charles a problem? Well, bad PR doesn't help anybody. Mm-hmm. But the saddest part is he's ripped a real hole between a relationship with his brother. And that's the saddest part of the whole thing.
Well, one of the things, though, you talk about him being scarred. He writes in the book about being considered the spare, that Charles apparently said to Diana when he was born, "Thank you for giving me an heir and a spare." And he was told as a child he was the spare. That's some heavy junk to live with. Now, I've been Team Harry all along. I've been so sympathetic. But now I'm reading that he apparently writes quite a bit of detail about when he was in the service and how he killed 25 Taliban. And he called them like chess players. And so now the Taliban is ticked off. And now they're saying, wait, Harry, that was stupid. They're going to come after you. Mm-hmm. You had an X on your back anyway, but now they're really ticked off. I think, why doesn't he have people around him saying, okay, you need to do this maybe because it's cathartic and maybe you need a couple million extra bucks. I don't know. But you shouldn't be writing about the things that are going to jeopardize you and your family even more. That's, it's baffling.
They're just not making good decisions.
No.
And you would think that some of it, it feels like some of it is just out of desperation. And, you know, he's going to go down as a good soldier who was prideful, you know, towards his country and really put he put his life on the line, as did millions of other UK men and women who went to war. And then all of a sudden he comes out and he's kind of, I wouldn't say he's bragging, but there's certain things that you just don't talk about.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, he's not making smart moves from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Just as Prince Andrew didn't make a smart move when he had that, you know, when he did that interview in, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the best thing to do in life is to just keep your mouth shut
and live your life.
Let the wave go through. That's what the royal family does really well. That's what Queen Elizabeth, the late Queen Elizabeth, did really well, is she listened to what people were saying at times. She knew where she was making mistakes, and you readjust, but you don't readjust in public when you're a public figure. Yeah. You readjust in private, and then you bring it out publicly. So
and the book was
leaked and in Spain, and now it's going to be out next week, and there are already the excerpts that are out. And it's going to create drama, and it's going to create money for Harry and Meghan. And
it's going to be a bestseller. It will be.
And it will be. And as I say to you, people in the UK are sick of hearing about it. And I think there's a certain percentage of people in the States that are sick of hearing about it. When you look at the Netflix numbers of how many people watched the first night of the Netflix mm-hmm. series, mm-hmm. it was huge. Millions of people watched it.
Yeah.
So let's not be naive and think that they're not generating an audience for Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, 60
Netflix
Minutes is going to be
exactly what they're doing.
60 Minutes and Good Morning America are going to be huge, too.
But the more that I hear about the book, the more I'm convinced that, boy, there's a whole lot of blame to go around for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't see any heroes or heroines in this. It seems like, wow, what a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are no heroes in this. All this that's coming out is it just puts them all in a bad situation that they should have dealt with as a family privately and as a business privately, and they didn't do it. And you're hearing parts of stories, some of it, you know, and some of it's ridiculous. Let's be honest. There are serious things going on in the world, and no one cares if, you know, Meghan made Kate cry or Kate made Meghan cry. Mm-hmm. It's just silliness and doesn't really add any legitimacy to any of their brands.
You're no psychiatrist, but just a layman's guess. How much does their status add to the psychological pressure that all of them deal with and complicate whatever relations they might try to have?
Well, I think it adds a lot because they've got this public pressure of being this formal family, and then they have this, you know, a private life where they want to be able to go to have Christmas dinner at Windsor and not have the press around them. And that's been the problem all along, is that, you know, Charles married the wrong person because he should never have married Diana. He should mm-hmm. have married the person that he was in love with. And so, it all starts there. You read in the book and you see on the excerpts from the interview that Harry feels like the royal family never really protected Meghan and Harry. But from a business standpoint, they're going to protect Charles and they're going to protect William because they're the heir on the throne and the heir to the throne.
Yeah.
And the challenge that one thing that you brought up with Steve with a spear is they always have a rough time because they're kind of like a boat that is just drifting at sea, and unless they find a purpose in their life, their life is not overly fulfilling. Now, many members of the royal family have found purpose. The Princess Royal Anne, she mm-hmm. does more public engagements and they raise more money for charity than almost any group. Meghan and Harry can do the same thing because they've got that power, both in the United, not really now in the United States, to keep doing good things, like to keep raising money for charity. But it seems like every time they take two steps forward, they go back a step, which isn't helpful.
Yeah, and well, it's also sad.
On that note, people will be watching tonight on 60 Minutes. The book is going to come out. And
and it gave us an excuse to catch up with you, Fred, just as you landed coming back to Chicago.
So welcome back home.
Thank you, Fred.
I'm always glad to be here and always glad to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Well, boys and girls, once again, it's time for us to take a look at those who inhabit the world inside the big and
small
screens and find out just how big or
small
they really are. And now with all the pertinent poop, here is the pertinent poopmeister, his own bad self,
Gino, the showbiz machino.
You know, I noticed that normally you would, in two showbiz trains, you would start the intro. Were you trying to remember it again?
Or? Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Like, if I hear showbiz train one more time, maybe I'm not going to be on. I don't know.
Listen, Gino, literally, Steve was shaving the other day, and he steps out of the bathroom with shaving cream on his face, and he goes,
I just remembered it.
It came to me. And I go, what?
In a dream, in a very scary dream. And we should, again, because people are listening to us for the first time, if you don't know what the heck we're talking about, well, obviously we don't either, but for years, that was how we introduced Gino.
Yes.
With our showbiz report every Wednesday night at, what about?
3:45.
3:45, right? Something like that?
Yes.
Because you were up to...
I was getting up for radio. Now I go to bed at 8:30, and I had to stay up until 11:30 tonight, which was not easy.
And we should also explain for people who are saying, well, just who is this Gino guy? He's the entertainment reporter for Fox 6 in Milwaukee and the Dish Network, and he's nice enough to join us and dish.
I love dishing with you guys, and let me see. What did I want to start with? Okay, so you know I always used to give gifts to people I interview.
Oh,
right?
Fabulous gifts.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So I was interviewing Guillermo del Toro in New York for the movie Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah.
Which has taken him 12 years to make this movie. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's stop animation, and I had in my collection a Gumby and Pokey signed by the creator, Art Clokey.
Oh.
And I gave that to Guillermo, and he watched Gumby and Pokey in Mexico as a boy. And he was so touched by it that he grabbed the script. They had given us a hard copy of the script. And he drew a caricature of himself with his autograph on it. And I'm having it framed. It is so beautiful. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, my gosh.
You can take a look.
Oh, that's cool.
All these years, I love Gumby and Pokey, and you never offered it to me.
I didn't know that.
Do you have any?
I got to know Art Clokey. In the 80s.
You did?
He came through town. Yes. And he also did, of course, Davy and Goliath. You can't forget that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And who was the voice of Goliath?
Oh, I don't
know. Oh, I should know that.
Davy?
you were. Okay.
He played a famous character on a beloved sitcom in the 60s.
No, I don't know.
I'll give you the sitcom. The Andy Griffith Show.
What? Otis?
Yes. Otis the Drunk did all the male voices on Davy and Goliath.
No!
All of them?
Yes. Davy's dad, Goliath the dog, and any other male that was on that show.
Wow. Wow. And for people
who... Go ahead.
If you didn't grow up with this show and you saw it today, you'd go, oh, I mean, it looks very primitive. So does Gumby and Pokey. And I mean, but they're wonderful and they're important to us. So don't write to me and tell me how stupid they are, because they were very important to us. Right, Gino?
Exactly. Look, as a Catholic boy, a good Catholic boy, I'd wake up at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings to watch Davy and Goliath for its lessons. Yes, it's wonderful lessons, but...
what was the... Did you get the television show where... it was a treehouse. It was on Sunday mornings, too, and I think it...
Well, that was here in Chicago. With... what was her name?
No. It was a man. It had, like, a Jewish theme to it.
Oh, you're thinking of...
Oh, golly.
I don't know this.
Our listeners will. As we said, thank God we have them.
I think it was on Channel 7 very early on Sunday
morning. It was very early in the morning. I was so fascinated by it. And this grown man would be in the treehouse, and I think we would get Jewish lessons.
Yeah,
much like
you
would get Christian Catholic lessons on Sunday morning as well.
Again. Okay, I'm going to keep this story clean, because there was a childhood TV host that I always wondered about what happened to him, and I tracked him down in the 90s, and he was in his 90s, okay?
Yeah.
He was as old as could be and frail, and I took him out for lunch, and he asked me a question that was so obscene that I couldn't believe it. So when I interviewed Robin Williams for the movie Death to Smoochie, where he played a children's show host, I told him this story, and Robin started to laugh so hard that he got tears in his eyes, and then he became this children's show host.
Oh, no.
Asking kids to sign waivers, and no, you know, we don't need to tell mom and dad about what happened here.
Oh, no. You know, that reminds me, and Steve, you know where I'm going. I won't name the clown, but having lunch with a particular clown who would make your hair curl. Wow. Could he tell
in
the story?
In his full makeup and smoking and telling blue jokes.
Oh, man.
Yep, that was a moment.
By the way, our audience.
Can I ask this?
What?
Without revealing the identity, was this clown used by the writers of The Simpsons as the inspiration for Krusty the Clown?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Who we're talking about.
By the way, I want to segue back for a second. You were talking about Gumby and Pokey. Now, that was some of the early claymation stuff, right?
Yes.
I saw something on. We had our TV on one of the channels where it's playing music and it gives you all these facts about stuff. And the movie Nightmare Before Christmas, which was done pretty much in claymation.
Right.
Apparently, a good week for that movie is if they got 70 seconds worth of claymation animation.
What?
It takes a long, long time. Wow. And I will tell you that the voice of Jack Skellington has said that he's trying to create talk of a sequel being made, and he's the only one talking about this, not Tim Burton, who you need to do this movie.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
that's
serious animation work.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Oh, without question.
I thank you to the listeners. 312-773-630-708-847. It was Magic Door. Bless your hearts. You're right. It was the Magic Door on Sunday mornings.
Don't know that one.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Again, as I said at the top of the show, thank goodness. There's two of us.
Right.
There's a whole team. We can make complete sentences and we can make complete thoughts on this show.
But by the way, before we take a break, Gino, speaking of celebrities you have interviewed, you posted a video that cracked me up. This was an interview you did years ago with
Diane Cannon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. And you want to explain it?
It defies explanation. In fact, I don't know if they can grab it off of YouTube, but it's Diane Cannon's laugh. I asked her a question about George Hamilton, and she did a cackle that honestly should be a car alarm. It is so loud and
so
long.
Here is your assignment, should you choose to accept it, Andrew. We're going to take a break. During the break, can you do a search for Diane Cannon, Gino Salamone interview? And see if you can find, it's this one question that Gino gives Diane and her cackle laugh that goes on forever that you will not be able to get out of your head.
Oh, well, good. This is a great thing.
I would look up Diane Cannon laugh, not my name on it, because I did post it, but it's on my Watch Gino TV page. But you have to hear this. I cannot do it justice.
Have you got it, Andrew?
I found it.
Okay, wow. I tell you what. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we will come out of the break.
Oh, I'm scared.
With the, just buckle up, kids. It's you're not going to believe it. Stay with us.
I understand that you were able to get George Hamilton not to tan.
Now, Gino, we're going to play that again in a second. But Gino, you want to set it up again? That was Diane Cannon, and you were interviewing her, and you asked her about George Hamilton.
That's right, about canning, and I did not expect this reaction.
And you asked her if she was able to get George Hamilton not to tan. Okay, Andrew,
exactly.
Hit it again, Andrew.
Stop her!
That is becoming a permanent part of our stash.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it has to be. Look, now I know why Cary Grant took LSD.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that explains so much.
She's so...
so strange because started doing that laugh, and it wasn't stopping, and the crew was looking at me, and I was looking at the crew like, let's keep going. I don't know what's happening here.
Oh, to be so gorgeous with a hideous laugh.
I would if you had played that for me cold and I didn't know who it was, she is the last, beyond the last person I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Andrew's on the other side of the glass replaying it over and over again. We've lost Andrew for the rest of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Would that not be a great car alarm?
Yes! Yes, it would. The thief would run. I can't even do it.
Andrew, you wanted to jump in with something?
Oh, please.
Why am I not hearing Andrew?
Oh. So.
Okay. Okay.
Buttons need to work sometimes better for me, but I said I was going to use this as my morning alarm.
Yes! Oh, that would get you out of bed. Yes.
For sure.
Just to shut it up. Oh, my gosh. All right.
And I was a young boy feeling strange stirrings under my utility belt, like Adam West said, when I'd look at Diane Cannon, and that spoiled it.
Yeah.
That ruined everything.
Yeah, that took care of that problem.
Wait. You just said that Adam West said that to you?
Yes, he said that when he looked at this woman, he had strange stirrings under his utility belt. You know, I have another Adam West story. I don't know if I ever told you this.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
So I get a call from Adam saying, when are you coming to Los Angeles? And I said, I'm actually coming this weekend. He said, I need to talk to you about something. He said, can I come to the hotel and talk to you? I said, sure. So I'm sitting at the bar of the Four Seasons in Los Angeles, and there's Adam West. It's Bruce Wayne. I mean, he looks like him. He sounds like him. And he said, Gino, my son is being bothered by some kids at school. I need you to send a couple of guys there to scare these kids.
Oh.
And I'm not kidding. He was completely serious. His son was having trouble in college, and he thought, well, of course, a guy named Gino should know.
Yeah.
Some dog sticks and come and scare the kids.
Gino knows guys. Yeah. Gino's got a guy, the girl.
Oh, my gosh. Do I know any Italians? Let's see. Oh.
No profiling there at all.
No, none at all.
No.
Golly.
Hey, Moose. Hey, Rocco. Help the Cape Crusader out, will you?
My eyes are watering, Gino. Oh.
You know, I think Diane Cannon said it best when she said,
don't do it. Don't. No. I have visions of dogs sitting up looking at the red egg going, what?
Yes.
What? Oh, golly. So now, last time we talked about the fact that you're kind of back to normal in that you were going on junkets, right?
Or as normal as Gino ever gets.
That's right. I only did two in person at the end of November, early December. I did one today that was virtual. And that's the movie Plane with Gerard Butler and Mike Coulter.
Uh-huh. Had you seen the movie?
You know Mike Coulter? I did see the movie.
I know the name. Refresh me.
Mike Coulter. Yes, Mike Coulter did a great comic book series that it was one of the few that I ever actually watched. And this is me stalling to come up with the name of it as I look it up. I'm sorry. Again. Not my waking hour. it was a superhero, and Steve, you know all the superheroes.
Is this the guy that was on Evil, one of the scariest television shows on network TV?
No.
It's not. Oh,
no.
Well, that's my culture.
And my internet is moving so. Again, the audience is screaming. I know what it is.
Was it Luke Cage?
Luke Cage. That was
well.
It.
Then that's the same Mike Coulter that was the lead in Evil, the most terrifying over-the-air television show that we can't see anymore, which is probably a blessing.
I think it's now on. It's streaming.
It's streaming,
somewhere.
And we don't watch it because it literally screwed me up every time I watched an episode. I was terrified.
Wow. And this was one of those. She wanted to watch it every week, and then she would be terrified after we watched
days,
it.
Days.
It was just.
And he was wonderful in it. So he's in this new movie with Gerard Butler.
Yes.
And
yes.
Did you get to talk to him?
Yes, I did. I talked to him and Gerard. They were together. And, you know, it's one of those movies that you do not want to fly on a plane after seeing this movie because the plane crashes in a jungle.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And it's a little too realistic.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to experience it, but... pretty frightening.
But if you do...
It's just a great popcorn movie.
If it does happen to me, I want Mike Coulter and Gerard Butler on the plane with me when it happens. You know, look around and go, where's...
No. Johnny, what? I want Diane Cannon
no!
on the plane because they'll find us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Diane would send out a signal laugh.
Oh, bless her heart.
No. Have you guys watched Wednesday on Netflix?
No, we have not.
Okay.
But I love that character. I love the character of Wednesday.
Well, it is so well done. Tim Burton is behind it. He's even directing the episodes. It is so good. And this young Jenna Ortega, who plays Wednesday, is just a sensational actress. She's just incredible.
Hmm. To be honest with you, we don't stream a lot of anything, and we've got a new TV now. You know, we got our 1988 floor model. Don't laugh because it was thousands of dollars in 1988, and it was top of the line.
It just gave up the ghost the week before Christmas, so we...
Three weeks ago tonight.
So, you're right.
Yeah.
So this is the anniversary of... Johnny did a little bit of searching. We looked at it, and we ordered this TV. It came from New York, so we didn't have to go to the store to get it. It's an OLED. Are you hip to OLED?
No.
Oh,
it stands for Organic LED. And trust me, we are never going with any other kind of TV again. The color is just extraordinary
in this thing. It's as thin as a mirror.
Yeah.
It's so thin.
The flat screen TV that you have in your living room
right now.
Is fat compared to this thing.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Can you see me right now?
Yes, Gino, we can.
I don't think you like what you see.
Or are you doing a Dick Clark on us? you know that story, don't you?
No.
He was naked when we interviewed him.
Dick Clark had returned from an engagement. He called us right away. We were talking with him, and Johnny asked, what was he wearing?
Well,
and
of course,
because he just got back from this engagement, so he was taking off all his clothes, and he said, I'm naked. And then he started doing this James Brown thing. I look good.
I look so good. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I will take a naked Dick Clark over what I had to see when I was going backstage at the WWE wrestling card where King Kong Bundy, the 450-pound wrestler who was bald, was completely naked.
Ooh.
I had never seen a human Humpty Dumpty before. He was bald, round, and looked just like he'd fallen off the wall. I'm not kidding.
And I'm sure you told him that, too. And
now, if he said that to him while he was still alive, I don't think he would have survived that encounter.
Yeah, words failed me. Honestly, it was a sight I've never forgotten, and I wish I could forget it.
Your eyes were bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. Well, Gino, thank you for dropping by and joining us tonight. And thank you for agreeing to join us once a month.
And before we let you go, blatant plug, where can people see you and contact you and all of the ships at sea?
I'm on the 9 a.m. news on Fox 6 here in Milwaukee, then a show called Real Milwaukee at 10 a.m., and then I'm on the 4 p.m. news as well. And just on social media, it's Gino Salamone Critic on Facebook.
Okay. And your Twitter is what? Movie Gino, I believe?
Yes, at Movie Gino, right.
Okay.
G-I-N-O.
And what are your plans for the upcoming week? Anybody interesting you're going to be seeing?
You know what? I have four lined up, and I could not tell you. One is the director of a Bill Russell documentary. There is not a huge name that I can recall at this moment. But again, remember that before Steve and Johnny, I went to bed at 8:30 at night. So,
but and
this
you
is a miracle that I'm still even talking at midnight.
And you know how to spell your name. That's huge. G-E-N-O, right? G-E-N-O. Gino, we love you. I love talking to you.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gino.
Now go back to sleep.
And try to get that laugh out of your out of your head. Oh, I have never ever heard a laugh like that.
No.
Should we replace the tone with that laugh?
Or? No.
Okay. Okay, I'll shut up now. People are shaking their heads and saying, but it's not Wednesday. What the, who the, how the, well, this show is a work in progress.
Yes. And it was Wednesday for many, many years.
That we talked about computers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come up with some new computer jingles, but we thought we'd revisit that for just a couple minutes.
It's a warm fuzzy.
Yeah. And if you're wondering what the heck is going on, I'm Steve King. She's Johnny Putman. And, this is the first of who knows how many Saturday night shows that we'll wind up doing. The game plan is for us to be here live with you every Saturday night from 9 p.m. until 2 in the morning. And that will change a little bit with Hawks games like next week. I think for the next 2 weeks, we don't start till 10:30 on Saturday nights. And we're introducing you to some of the people who are going to be part of our cast of characters. Now, you're hearing some of the people tonight, and they will not be with us every Saturday night, but they will be with us at least once a month. And one of the things we're going to do once a month, at least, is talk computers. And we're going to talk computers with the man who has been the chief of our cyber squad for many, many years. He is the director of educational technology at the Keck School of Medicine. And his name is Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick, how you doing, buddy?
Woohoo! Welcome back.
Well, thank you. You know, I was just thinking this is Saturday. This was the day that you were supposed to be leaving Chicago to go back to Pasadena.
Yeah, we were going to fly out to Chicago, and unfortunately Southwest said, nope, we're not going to let that happen to
you. But you gave up your seats early, right?
We did. So we gave up our seats early. And to make it up for Joseph, we took him to Disneyland on Thursday.
And
where
it rained
about 20 feet of rain. So it was cold and wet and miserable, but he still had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one of the benefits of being in Pasadena on New Year's Day, in this case, it would be January 2nd, was we got to go outside and watch the Rose Parade because it goes right by where we live.
And it didn't rain that day, so that was pretty cool.
No.
And
it was kind of cold, but other than that.
Did you see the big honking float from the state of Illinois?
The Illinois float was wonderful, and Joseph actually pointed out to the bean, which he wants to see in person the next time we're there.
Oh, that's good. And you were able to rebook to finish that story. You're going to come in the summertime and spend a couple of weeks with us in summer because you didn't get to make your Christmas trip. And that gives me an excuse to, you know, keep a Christmas tree up.
Yeah.
So we can do Christmas in July, right?
Yeah.
Just one Christmas tree? I mean, come on, Johnny. I expect to see eight.
Well, okay, if you insist. Anything for the boy.
Well, there's a lot of interesting tech stuff going on, and people can text us or call 312-981-7200. And the CES was going on this week and some other things happening.
But, Patrick, can we start with a question that a listener brought to my attention because she said the last time you were on the show, you had a two-part question. We ran out of time because that's the way afternoon show is, boom, 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 in and out. And she said, if it's possible, could you get an answer to the question? So the question was, the last time she said, you didn't get a chance to answer any safety differences between using our devices on cellular versus home Wi-Fi. Is it safe to enter our passwords and our credit card numbers on iOS devices which lack firewalls? And I thought, dang, that's a good question. I'm sorry we didn't get to it last time.
I am sorry we couldn't get to that question. I'm going to give you a short answer and long answer. Mm-hmm. The short answer is you don't have to worry about it. The long answer is you absolutely have to worry about it.
Okay.
Gosh.
So let me explain what I mean. When we started this show and Wi-Fi was just coming out, you were able to connect through basically wireless connections that were unencrypted, and anybody around would be able to kind of see what you were doing. So you can go to a coffee shop and somebody with an antenna could see your connection. Mm-hmm. And then wireless got better and better, and they started encrypting your connections using wireless encryption protocol, which was not very easy, it was not very strong. And then WPA, which is wireless protection, and then WPA2, now we're up to WPA3. What that means is when you're connected to a wireless device, so long as you're connected to one that actually has that little padlock on it that requires you to enter a password, you're safe, because what ends up happening is your communication is actually encrypted from the second it leaves your device to the wireless router and from the wireless router out to the internet. Same thing is true with your cell phone. When you connect to the internet through your cell phone, it actually is really encrypted because it's encrypted using a chip in your car, in your phone, and then the entire signal back to the cell tower, which is a one-to-one communication, is also encrypted and then goes on the way. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say you absolutely need to be concerned is none of that is going to protect you if you're doing stupid things. If you end up opening up the most secure browser in the world on a secure cellular network and go to imahacker.imgoingtosteal.yourcreditcardinformation.crook and enter in your personal information, they're going to take your personal information. There's nothing you can do to protect yourself from that, from being stupid. But as long as you're careful, as long as you're making sure that the websites that you visit really are the websites, check the addresses. If you're going to go to Amazon, use the Amazon app and make sure it's actually the real Amazon app and not some app that you downloaded from some unknown app store where they misspell the word Amazon with a letter zero for Amazon.
Yes.
To try to steal your information. But as long as you do that, you don't have to worry about it. When we first started the show many, many years ago, you would absolutely have to worry about it. The world's just a better place.
Interesting.
Just before we break, I'm going to ask a really, 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 really dumb question.
No such
question.
Thing.
Oh, I like that. No such thing as a dumb computer question.
What did you say?
We recently got a new car.
Yes.
One of the features with that new car is both of our cell phones are now synced through that car. As your phone is synced through the car, does that in any way compromise or change what you just said?
It could if somebody is able to hack into the car and then from the car to connect to your devices.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they're doing over-the-air updates for the software on the car, I think you're going to be okay. But it is technically a point of vulnerability where if somebody gets into the middle of this communication, they could actually have access to your devices. And even if you're using Apple CarPlay, remember, when you open up CarPlay, it says, do you really want to trust this device? Mm-hmm. And when you say yes, you're trusting your car to see your contacts or not, or to see your schedule or not, or to make phone calls for you or not. So yeah, you do have to be kind of concerned about it. I have not heard of any attacks that through that vector yet. That's not to say it can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the original question. The short answer is don't worry about it. The answer is absolutely worry about it.
Okay.
now that we've cleared that up, we'll take a break and be back with more. Stay with us at WGN. Last time I checked, my name was Steve King and hers is
Johnny Putman. And we have a smart computer guy with us on the line. He's going to join us once a month and talk about computers and computer news and answer some of your questions. And he is Dr. Patrick Crispin, Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC. And Patrick, you and I were sharing stories today saying, oh, what about this? Should we talk about this? And you sent one that really got my attention because you wrote, we really, in capital letters, need to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. You go on to say it's hands down the most important set of events since the start of the internet. Oh, please.
I honestly believe it. I was there at the early, early days of the internet. We started our show in the early days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we had a boss who said
1.0.
Yeah. the boss who said, why are you talking about computers? No one cares.
Nobody cares about computers.
Okay.
Well, and Web 1.0 was all sort of company generated websites, static web pages. Search engines came along, but I mean, even then, all of us started using AltaVista, and then we left AltaVista to go to Dogpile. And then Google finally showed up, and we all went to Google and stuck around with Google. While we were on the air, the whole Web 2.0 revolution happened, which was the social media, Facebook, and then later on TikTok, and I would say Instagram further than that. TikTok is actually relatively new. Well, here's the thing. I honestly think that the next big thing, and it's the one that really kind of excites me and keeps me up at night, is generative machine learning, what we would call artificial intelligence incorrectly. And what we've seen in this last basically 6 months are some advances coming out of, right now, a company called OpenAI. This is a company that was created back in 2015 with $1 billion from a whole bunch of people, including the Facebook mafia, or sorry, the PayPal mafia. So, you know, we're talking Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, Reed Hastings, Amazon Web Services, Y Combinator, all started this. And they really wanted to start creating artificial intelligence or sort of text robots at the time. Microsoft then came in 2019 and dropped another $1 billion into this thing with the idea that, hey, if anything you develop, we'd like to incorporate this into our new products that are coming out. The reason why this is exciting is, and we were in Chicago when I showed you this, the first thing that OpenAI opened up for the world, and that was back in the summer, was something called DALL-E 2.
Mm-hmm.
And DALL-E 2 allows you to type in text, and it generates images, pictures, mm-hmm. based on whatever you type in. I actually had to type in, draw me a picture of what Surratt would paint Wrigley Field to look like. And it looked like a Surratt painting of Wrigley Field. It was really exciting. That's been out for a while. That came out in July. By the way, you know why it's called DALL-E?
No.
It is a portmanteau of Salvador Dali and Pixar's WALL-E.
Oh,
okay.
Took the word Salvador Dali and WALL-E and put together, and now it's called DALL-E. It's a combination of those two.
Ah. Okay, I was thinking Salvador Dali, but I didn't know. I didn't get WALL-E.
Yeah. Cool.
But what came out at the end of the year, basically November 30th, and he made it available to everybody, is something called ChatGPT, which is Generative Pre-trained Transformer. And what it does, it's a text box, and you just go type it, give it instructions, and it will write for you. It will create content for you. During the break, I actually had it earlier. I said, you are a soldier at Valley Forge in 1777. Write a letter home to your mother telling her that you are safe but cold, and it wrote a letter that could really pass for something that looked like a soldier had written it. I had it do a cost-benefit analysis recently. It actually did the tables for me. It's really scary and cool because, remember, Microsoft put $1 billion into this thing so that they can plug it in. The idea is that Microsoft is now going to start plugging in ChatGPT and DALL-E into, don't laugh, Bing. Bing has been the joke of search engines forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't think it's going to be a joke much longer because you can now go to Bing, come later on this year, and create content, new things for you. So you're going to sit there and say, hey, I need to start a new play or start a new novel. Can you help me write the first couple paragraphs? And it'll create the text for you and help you get over your writer's block. Or, hey, I need to send a breakup letter to my girlfriend.
No.
Can you write the breakup letter for me?
No.
Wow.
You're in education. How is this going to affect, for example, I've got to write a paper.
Yeah.
What would stop me from sitting down and just asking?
Would you write my book report?
Yeah.
The New York Public Schools has responded to ChatGPT by blocking it on their network.
Oh.
Okay.
However, as we said, anybody who has a cell phone or a computer at home, you connect to the internet, it's safe and secure, you can still do it. So it's going to make plagiarism, or, well, not really plagiarism, but unofficial, unoriginal work very difficult to detect.
Now, help me at this point. I'm going to hit the pause button and see if my pea-sized brain kind of understands this. So going back to your Valley Forge example, if I say, okay, write me this this novel or this letter about Valley Forge, I'm assuming that it kind of uses Google or whatever and goes and grabs everything that there is to know about Valley Forge and then puts that together in letter form, and that would be sort of the concept of how it's working? Am I at all?
It actually kind of guesses. And that's the thing about ChatGPT, at least ChatGPT version 3.5, is it tries to guess based on all the things that it's seen out on the internet. And sometimes it guesses spectacularly wrong, but incredibly confidently. And what I mean by that is I had it write something recently about the Steve and Johnny show. Tell me how long Steve and Johnny stayed on WGN radio.
I want to read this.
And it said that you guys were both on the air until 2011 when Steve King retired. Johnny Putman stayed on the air until 2013 when she also retired.
I'm going to hit the pause button. I want to come back to this, but I'm going to hit the pause button because the voice in my head is telling me we need to break for the news. So we're going to do that right now. Boy, have we come a long, long way since the pocket calculator days.
Remember how excited we were with a pocket calculator when we could spell words?
Yeah.
You know, ooh, look, you could take the number 7, and that's an L. I can spell hell with a 4 and a 3 and a 7.
7734, upside down and backwards. Hee, 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 hee. How cool is that? We're talking computer stuff with Patrick Crispin. He is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. And we're talking about artificial intelligence.
And I think we're split, Patrick. There's an equal number of people who are excited, which it appears that you're very excited about artificial intelligence being available to all of us. And then there are people like me that are really creeped out by this. I'm a little bit worried.
I'm kind of in the middle.
Are you?
It's kind of like the early answer where it's like, you don't have to worry about it. Oh, you absolutely do need to worry about this. Because Microsoft, as I said, they put $1 billion into this thing because they're going to plug this into Microsoft Office.
Okay, so
it is going to be in Word. It's going to be in Outlook.
You just answered a question. The listener said, would we be able to use this in Microsoft Word since they're the ones behind it? So, yes.
But what if you don't want
it? It's coming.
If you don't want it.
Because you're going to use prompts and you're going to prompt it. It's not going to automatically do it for you. Right, Patrick?
Okay, I'm gonna show my age.
Okay.
Do you remember Clippy?
Yes.
Puff used to have this really helpful clip art.
Yes.
Oh, good grief.
Says,
yeah.
It looks like you're trying to write a letter.
Yes.
And it was terrible. It was horrible. And everybody disabled it. Well, what we're talking about is Clippy, that you can say, hey, Clippy, write a 5-paragraph essay about the history of rockabilly. And it will write one as good as what you could turn in to a high school class. It's not going to be perfect. Again, this is really just a computer, series of computer programs that are trying to mimic what a human would do. And so it's based on, I'm going to go look at all the writing that I can see on the internet and put it all together and come up with something that, you know, resembles human logic and human writing. When it gets it right, it gets it kind of right. When it gets it wrong, it gets it really, really, really wrong and is confidently wrong when it does it. But I think what we need to start thinking of, and I remember at the early days of the internet, everybody, teachers were terrified. Oh, Lord, everybody can search the internet and go to Wikipedia and just copy and paste the answers. And what we did was changed our assignments and kind of made it so that we were creating generative content. Now we have to rethink how we do our assignments. The other thing is, I can honestly see within the next hours, places like Turnitin and all the other plagiarism detection services are going to be rolling out something that will check for how likely is this generated by a human being and how likely is what I'm reading generated by a computer.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's actually a computer scientist, a computer science student who over the break wrote a program that he put up online that allows you to copy and paste text, and it will tell you what his software thinks is the likelihood that a human being wrote it. But I do think it's going to be an opportunity for us to rethink the way that we do assignments, writing assignments, creative assignments.
My pea-sized brain just jumped out with something, so I'm going to throw it out.
Sure.
Would it be possible for you to, let's assume you're using the new version of Word and this is integrated into the new version of Word. Can you tell it? Because you know that Maxi's spam site has incorrect information. Could you tell it, okay, write this thing, but don't take any information from Maxi's spam site?
Right now, no, because it's gathering internet from everything on, or gathering information from everything on the internet. There are other artificial intelligence tools. I tried a search engine earlier today that shows you the source of information that it used to generate the text that it put up on the screen. I'm not going to mention it on the air. We'll talk about it later. The reason why is once everybody found out about it tonight, it got the hug of death, and nobody can connect to it now.
Okay.
but I do think that this is a really interesting time. And don't forget, think about how we use the internet, you, me, everybody else. And we want to go find something on the internet, or we want to find information on the internet. What most of us normally do is we'll go to Google and we'll type in a search at Google for what we're looking for and then come up with a page full of ads. Or if you're smart, you'll go to Reddit and search Reddit for this and get people's comments about it. Imagine something where instead of going to Google, you open up your ChatGPT or your artificial intelligence and you communicate directly with it. If I were Google, I'd be terrified right now because Google makes most of its money from advertisements. And if I'm going to be bypassing Google and really coming up with an entirely new way of finding information on the internet, creating new information on the internet, this completely disrupts Google's business plans. That said, Google is also in this space. Google will be rolling out probably in the second quarter of this year, so sometime in March. Look for something called Google Palm. This is something called Pathways and Language Model. And unlike ChatGPT it has about three times more parameters, in other words, sort of rules that it uses to create things. It creates text and images and speech. So they're calling it multi-sensory. And wow. They are absolutely going to be building this into a lot of things. So we are at the beginning of really a very new race for new machine-generated content, and we need to figure out how we're going to deal with it. I will tell you a scary thing that will keep you up at night, and I apologize for telling you this. Imagine if I feed it all the information I've collected about Steve King from his troubles on the internet or travels on the internet or whatever he does on the internet. So I'm an advertiser, and I know that he likes rockabilly and whatever. I can go to an artificial intelligence and say, hey, custom create an advertisement for Steve that's going to make him visit my site and buy some. And specifically target you based on information known about you. We are entering a very, very interesting time.
But doesn't that happen already? Because I get freaked out when I say, wait, how come I'm getting these ads about something I just talked about with someone?
It's close to that, but it's going to be even more targeted than that. Christine and I were in New York for Thanksgiving, and I remember we were sitting in a pizza place, and we were over by Times Square, and we were talking about the new Michael Jackson musical, and up on her phone in Facebook popped up an ad for the Michael Jackson musical, and she was convinced that Facebook was listening to us, and it's like, no, Christine, they're not listening to us. They recognize that you and I are Gen Xers. It knows that we're in Times Square right now in the Broadway, Broadway, and realize that, hey, people in Gen X seem to like Michael Jackson. There's a Michael Jackson musical. Let's show this ad to all the people in Times Square who are Gen X on Facebook at this moment.
I wish I could think of what it was that Johnny and I had been talking about this past week, and all of a sudden it jumped up in the feed on both of our phones, and it was something really obscure.
It was very scary.
Nothing that we'd been even looking at, but just something that we were musing about, and all of a sudden this is coming up on our phone.
You can say it all you want, but it's listening to us. It is.
Well,
speaking of intelligence or not, before we take a break, quick text question for Patrick. Ionan or Kim Reader, this is a reading device for the blind which combines a camera with artificial intelligence. Can that device invade my privacy?
I don't know enough about the company and how they're selling or collecting the information that they collect about you. So I will find out offline and try to find out a little more about the company. Technically, any sort of website or any sort of tool that you enter information into, that information could be used to track you, unless the company or the device or the website specifically says that they're not going to use that information to track you. But again, if you send me the information about it, I can find out a little bit offline.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I would recommend everybody sign up for ChatGPT, ChatGPT. Do a Google search for it. Absolutely free. Play around with it. It's scary.
Well, good. Just my idea of a good time after the show tonight.
So now that we've scared you, we're going to pause and take a break. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking computers with Patrick Crisman. And Patrick, if people want to get to you, how can they do that?
Just search for Crispin, C-R-I-S-P-E-N, on all the modern new social media sites, especially Twitter, Instagram, and all the other ones.
And all the ships at sea.
Post and Mastodon.
Sherry says, how will DALL-E filter out propaganda and lies? Also, all of DALL-E's...
Microsoft.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Microsoft is actually really good at doing this, because there's an old tweet that came out in 2016 from a guy named Pixelated Boat. And the tweet was, The whole internet loves Milkshake Duck, a lovely duck that drinks milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you the duck is racist. And the reason why I bring that up is, which is true on anything on the internet, Microsoft released an artificial intelligence chatbot years ago called Microsoft Tay, T-A-E. And within a few days of it being released, actually a few hours of it being released, it started, you know, saying that the Holocaust didn't happen and spouting a whole bunch of things. It got taken down. Microsoft has learned a lot from that. So the company OpenAI, which does DALL-E, which is the image generator, and ChatGPT, actually do have very strict rules on what can and cannot be generated. When we were in Chicago and trying to do DALL-E, I had it say, hey, can you make a photo of Pac-Man chomping through downtown? And it said, no, that violates our terms. We're not going to do that sort of picture. And it's like, okay, I get it. So they really have learned over the last couple of years. They're going to try to tamp down on misinformation. They're going to try to tamp down on racism, sexism. You very likely are not going to see that. And especially, remember, we're in ChatGPT 3.5 right now. 4.0 is coming soon. There'll be 5. It's going to get better and better. So this really is baked into the system, I hope.
Wow. I want to get into a story out of Seattle. Because you're in education, this one is the public school district in Seattle has filed a lawsuit against TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Snapchat, seeking to hold them accountable for the mental health crisis among the youth. And when I read that, I thought, how? And apparently in this suit, they're blaming them for hooking tens of millions of students across the country into positive feedback loops of excessive use and abuse of well, you name it. They blame the social media sites for everything from depression to eating disorders to cyberbullying. What was your take on this story, Patrick?
I'm not sure it's going to succeed, but I'm interested in seeing how this goes. Here's the thing. Most of these social media sites, when you are going and entering in your information, you're posting pictures or texts or whatever. Audie Cornish actually had a great line for this, and she said that when you're doing that, you're basically doing unpaid data entry for billionaires because they're going to be selling your information. And why I'm telling you that is all of these social media sites make their money not from you, but from selling your information. Mm-hmm. And if they can get you to stay on the site more and more and more, you can be more engaged with the site, they can serve you more ads. So what they do is, using some code in the back end, they tweak what you see. Facebook famously would go and put things that were really offensive or disturbing or just, you know, just because that angered you. And if you were angry, you were going to stay on Facebook a little longer and they would be able to give you more ads.
Because you'd see this. Can you believe this? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, look at this and blah, blah, blah. So when you're looking at your social media feed, you're not looking at something organic. There's something in the background that really truly is sort of juicing what you see so that the billionaires who run these sites, or in case of TikTok, the Chinese government, can make more money. Just be aware of that. That has negative consequences, and there are some negative consequences from that. I think we all know that social media is a very strong negative influence on a lot of us. And I've seen a lot of our family members torn apart where mm-hmm. we just say, okay, we're not going to talk to you anymore because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sorry, you've gone down this rabbit hole.
Yep.
I do think that there's merit to the suit. I don't think you're going to succeed, but it's interesting to see what they do. And it's going to expose some really interesting conversations about what is going on with the feeds on your site and how they're tracking you and how what you see on those sites isn't exactly organic. It's there to get you to stay longer.
Can I go back to the early days of us doing Website Wednesday night? And one of the things we said at that time that I think still applies today, and it could be relevant to this lawsuit. If your kids are of an age that you are concerned about them being influenced by what they will see on the internet, don't put the computer in their bedroom. Put the computer in the living room where you see what they're doing. Now, I understand there are cell phones and everything else, but this would at least give you some degree of access to what they are consuming, and you could then impart your thoughts on what it is that they're attempting to see.
Adults have to get off our phone long enough to see what they're seeing on their laptops. And
we have to sit down with our kids and go through social media with them and say, okay, here's what's truly happening here. Here's why this is being shown to you. Mm-hmm. Here's what they're trying to do. Look how when you visit this next link comes up. Again, mm-hmm. the reason why is they want to keep you going down the rabbit hole so that they can serve more ads. And I think our kids are smarter than that. I mean, Facebook really, the reason why Mark Zuckerberg is spending the billions and billions of dollars on the metaverse is he's realizing the kids are not using Instagram the way they used to mm-hmm. a long time ago. And they're certainly not using Facebook. And Mark makes his money from advertisement mm-hmm. from people being engaged. So he has to figure out, okay, what's next? I'm going to bet everything on virtual reality so that I can track you and show you more ads in virtual reality. I think it's a bad bet, but I appreciate him going down that path to try it. Just be aware, the whole Meta thing is because Facebook is scared that their advertising model is about to go bye-bye.
Wow.
Patrick, we got about 2 minutes. Before we wrap up for this segment, if I can get you very quickly to address something we alluded to in our last conversation. What for years we used referred to as the Fab Five really doesn't compute,
no
pun intended, in 2023. This was a list of five things we said you should do with your computer every week to make sure your computer is taken care of. In the minute and a half or so we have remaining, any things you would say people should do on a regular basis to keep their computers clean and happy?
I'm going to stick with something that Leah Laporte used to promote, and it's something called 3-2-1 backup. Every file that matters to you, you need to have three copies of it. You need to have two of them at your home and one of them at an offsite location. Hmm. What do I mean by that? You're going to have your original file on your computer. You need to have some sort of external hard drive or a DVD burner if you still are using those. But you need to have a copy of that file at your home. But if your house burns down, you lose all your files. Mm-hmm. So you need to have an online backup. Mosey is a good site. I use Backblaze, but it's something where there is an off-site online backup. So if somebody breaks into your house and they take your computer, or there's a flood, or the Chicago Cubs win the World Series, you can then go and know that there is a backup that you can go get. It's perfectly safe. It's perfectly encrypted. No one else can see it. You can actually turn on two-factor authentication. But I would say 3-2-1. Three copies of every file, two at your home, one at the original site, the hard drive, and one on an external drive. By the way, if you copy from your external drive or from your computer to the hard drive, the external drive, and then delete it from your hard drive, you only have one copy. You have two copies. And then one offsite. So 3-2-1.
Got it. Thank you, Patrick.
On that 3-2-1, we're out of time. We'll do this again in a couple weeks. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Appreciate it, Patrick.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Coming up out of the news, a dear old friend, Tommy Emmanuel. Stick around. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. This is our inaugural version of our Saturday Night Show, version 2.0. And we wanted to have some special people on the show with us. And one of those people is a guy that we first saw perform in a Nashville club.
Right.
I don't know how many years ago. And we just said, huh? Well, who?
And you were sent a CD by a listener from Australia.
Yes.
And he sent you a CD and he said, Steve, I know you're a guitarist. I think you need to know this man. You were just listening to him. That's one man, one guitar. And that man is our buddy, Tommy Emmanuel. Tommy, hello, hello.
Hey, Tommy.
Happy New Year, you two. How are you doing?
Great. It's so nice to talk to you, and thank you for joining us tonight. Because I said to Steve, when we agreed to come back to Saturday nights, I said, finally, we get to catch up with Tommy again.
Well, I'm in California, and my daughter Rachel had her 8th birthday yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Eight years old.
It's 8 years old already. It's unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
Hey, you know, the version of Day Tripper that you just played, I recorded that in Australia.
Right.
And a lot of people thought I had a metronome going because they could hear this click, click, click sound. It was actually my foot tapping. I mic'd it up.
And I remember one of the lessons you taught me that I have never forgotten is every time you play with your guitar, tap your foot, keep the rhythm going.
That's it. Yeah. Well, you know, a musician's job is not just playing music; it's keeping time as well.
Well, your career has just absolutely exploded. For anybody who doesn't know, Tommy's been nominated for 2 Grammys. He's an internationally known guitarist. He is the best guitar player you will ever see. You need to put one of Tommy's dates on your schedule. And speaking of that, you are about to start a new tour on the 11th of this month.
Am
I right?
Yeah, that's next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first show is in Lexington, Kentucky, and then we go to the Tennessee Theater in Knoxville. It's a beautiful place, and then Germantown over near Memphis, and then we head on down to New Orleans and Ruston, Tallahassee, and then back up to Birmingham, Alabama, and Huntsville.
Is it true you're going to Iceland this year?
Yeah, I'm putting on the first ever guitar camp
in Iceland. Wow.
In Iceland, yeah. People are going to come from all over the world, and you know, they're going to be amazed not only at what goes on at the camp, but at the place we're at and the sites and the exploration that's going to go on as well. And I had some wonderful guests on that camp, people who are going to teach, Martin Taylor, Jerry Douglas, Mike Dawes. Yeah, it's going to be a great camp.
Yeah.
And so it'll be about 150 students for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the next camp will be in September, and it will be in Nashville.
Very successful camp, too, in Nashville.
You seem like you're at a very happy point of your life. It seems like you're just having a ball, and you're spending more time doing a lot more camps and getting involved with a lot of younger guitarists. Do you kind of feed off that too? Does that kind of reinvigorate
you? Well, lately, I mean, I've got quite a few new songs that have taken me a while to write. My writing process is not the same as it used to be. I used to write a song, or you know, every couple of days. But the last song I wrote, I think I did it in like three goes at finishing it, and I've never worked like that before. But it really worked well because I was able to come up with something better each time I came back to it. I was able to build on the idea. But, you know, having young support acts and guys that I really like as players and who are really different to me. It's great to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to play with them. But it's also great for the people who come to the show because we're so different, and they all bring something very different to the night, you know?
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Tommy Emmanuel. Tommy, we have to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back with you. And for people who are listening to us around the country, in fact, you can catch Tommy at some of these U.S. spots, and you can find him at TommyEmmanuel.com and find out if he's going to be in your neck of the woods, or get yourself down to Lexington, or get yourself to Germantown, or wherever to see him in concert.
And we'll be posting a link to all of Tommy's schedule, so stick around. We'll tell you where you can find that. That's the extraordinary Tommy Emmanuel and a couple friends. That's one of my favorite cuts, Tommy.
And it was at my camp in Cuba. We were down in Havana, and Frank and Vinny were my guest teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a day where we brought all the students into Abdallah Studios, where... it was the old RCA studio down there, and Buena Vista Social Club original band and album was recorded down there, and so we had all the students in the big orchestral room, and we did a couple of lessons, and then we had my sound guy come out and set up microphones, and we got all the students to sit, and we said, okay, now the lesson is we're going to take a song and arrange it for three guitars from scratch, and then we're going to record it. And so we chose Jangology, and Frank and Vinny already had the melody worked up and everything, so I had to learn it, and I had to learn. I had to work out what part I was going to play, and then we slowly put it together, and we did all this in front of the students, and then we did a take of it. We actually played it live, and what you just played is that recording,
the finished product
of us playing it live.
Wow.
It's one of those things that I listen to it, and I love the fact that you can just hear the spontaneous interaction with the three of you, and it's just one of my favorite recordings. By the way, I want to ask you about something that I saw just this past week. Our mutual friend Gina put up a video. You were on the stage of the Ryman early in the morning, and I believe you were recording a show. That is it going to be a tribute to Chet Atkins, or what is that?
Yeah, it's a television special that's put together by the Ryman and the Country Music Hall of Fame, and it's in recognition of Chet and his life, his influence, and there's a lot of different people, and there's also an album to go with it. And I've already recorded Mr. Guitar, mm-hmm. my song Mr. Guitar, and Gareth Pearson, the Welsh Tornado, and I have re-recorded Borsellino that I did with Chet all those years ago. And that's what we were recording. We were on the stage of the Ryman with a camera crew, and we were playing live, and they filmed us. It was early in the morning. It was like 7 a.m. in the morning. We had to get in there and get set up and start filming, because at 9 a.m. they open it to the public, and people come through and do tours.
Yeah.
So, I was up at 4:30 that morning.
Warming up your guitar, right?
Well, getting in there and getting a park and getting my gear in and all that,
Well, Tommy, for people who have not heard our previous conversations, would you take just a bit of time and talk about Chet in your life, because you came from Australia to see Chet Atkins, right? That was your goal, was to see
him. I did. Well, absolutely. When I first heard him, I was totally amazed and inspired by, you know, how good his record sounded, how brilliant his playing was, but how interesting his arrangements were and stuff. And so I just kind of worked it out myself, and I ended up writing a letter to him, and he invited me to come to Nashville to meet him, and gave me his office number and everything, and I worked like a slave and saved every penny until I could afford that flight. And I got to Nashville in 1980 to meet my hero. And I rang the office, and he answered, and he said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm just down the road at the Holiday Inn, you know." And he said, "Well, come on down. I'll see you now, you know." So I turned up at the office pretty nervous and you know, and wondering what was going to happen, and you know, hoping that that I wouldn't disappoint him, you know, with my playing. And he come down and said, "Do you want to pick a little?" And so I launched into me and Bobby McGee, and he joined in. And what he did that very first time, I'll never forget it. He made me sound real good. yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah,
he knew exactly. I learned so much from him about playing with another player, you know. And wow. I could talk all night about him.
Yes.
And in case it's not in your record collection, you need to get a copy of The Day Fingerpickers Took Over the World, which is the last new album that Chet Atkins did. And it is Chet Atkins and Tommy Emmanuel. And Tommy, you really produced that album, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I took over the project for him because he was not well. At that time, he'd had an operation, and he was trying to get over it. He had cancer, and so I just kind of took over the project and did all the drums and the bass and all the rhythm parts and got it all set up. And then he came in and we recorded the stuff together, and then the stuff that we couldn't get finished. I basically mapped it out for him, and then I had to fly back to Australia for a tour. And so kind of when he was feeling well, he went in and played, and he did a great job.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And if you ever get the chance to take a look at the video, look up Tommy and Les Paul and their version of Blue Moon, which is just it was wonderful seeing you and Les work together, and how you, I love the story that you tell about when you played with Les, and you were kind of holding back, and he got mad at you for holding back, didn't
Don't hold back.
yeah, he said, you know, I was being very reserved and very respectful, and I played a couple of tunes and got the band involved and, you know, engaged Les in the songs. And then I made my exit, you know, and when he finished that first show, he came into the dressing room and he said, "I know what you're doing. You think I'm old and blah, blah, blah. Don't you ever hold back on stage." And he was like shouting at me. And he said, when I call you out there, you give it hell. You give it everything you got. I said, "All right, Les, I will." So when he introduced me for the second show, I came running out and I burst straight into Classical Gas, and the crowd just lit up. And anyway, I hosed them out, and they all jumped to their feet and threw babies in the air. And at the end of the song, you know, he says, oh, he waits till I'm old to come and beat me up.
You know? Oh,
he
that's
totally
great.
Got me.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
And Tommy. the funny thing was, Chet had said to me, you don't want to go and play with Les. He'll humiliate you.
Oh, and their relationship was priceless.
Yeah.
I could listen to Les telling stories about Chet forever because they were quite different. I mean, they were both so wonderful.
Oh, totally.
But their personalities were so different. Well, Tommy.
Oh, absolutely. Look.
It's always a joy to catch up with you.
And before we let you go, we're getting people are wondering, when are you next going to be in the Chicago area? Do you have anything in the immediate Chicago area?
Yeah, I'll be at the Park West this year.
Oh,
I don't have the dates in front of me, but I know that I will be at the Park West. It may be October.
Awesome. Okay.
If we are here at the same time you are, can we maybe get you in studio with us again?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh, I would love it.
Well, people can catch up with you next in Lexington, Kentucky. I had a text from a listener who said, but where in Lexington? That would be at the Opera House. I almost called it the Opry House. The Opera House.
The Opera House.
Yes. Yeah. And you can follow Tommy at TommyEmmanuel.com. Mm-hmm. And we have a link on our page so you could link right to Tommy.
All right.
Well, thank you, Tommy, so much.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you guys are back on Saturday night. God bless you. And that's great.
Thank you.
Tommy, it's wonderful to talk to you. We love you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Tommy.
Take care,
good night,
my friend.
Thank you.
That's the one and only Tommy Emmanuel, and the best recommendation I can give you, if you've never seen Tommy, doesn't matter. Go. It's one of the best concerts you will ever see in your life.
We took a cardiologist friend along, and he said, I wish I could take my patients to see him because what he does for your heart rate is so healthy. I mean, he was serious.
Yeah.
He said, I cannot believe. I feel like I have been on the exercise cycle, and he just kept going on and on. He was just, and we were right in the front row, and he just, he was wild about him. You see him one time, you're a fan. Absolutely.
We got a break. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. No, I don't believe we're down to the final 25 minutes of the show. We came into the show tonight with so much stuff planned. And we thought, okay, we're going to need this for a five-hour show. And here
even though
we
did 5 and 6 hours forever, you know, it's kind of hard to get back into the rhythm of things. And wow, you just said to me at 1:30, am I the only one that feels like this is just? And I said to you, my seat's not even warm. I feel like I just sat down here.
This has been thank you for hanging out with us. And we should mention again for anybody who's new to what's going on. We're going to be here every Saturday night forever.
because we need something to do on Saturday nights.
From 9 at night till 2 in the morning, unless, as in the case next week and the following week, we're preempted by some Blackhawks hockey. Mm-hmm. Next week we start at 10:30, and the following week we start at 10:30. And some of the people we've been introducing you to tonight will be joining us once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some other people we'll be introducing you to and some new things we're going to be adding to the mix. But
in fact, we have a new feature coming up this morning.
Yes.
That we will wrap the show up with. But more details on that coming your way, including prizes.
But we were playing Taking Care of Business. And we used to do what we called the Unfinished Business segment, where we kind of got to some of the stuff we didn't get to, and there's stuff we didn't get to tonight.
And doing a show once a week means we really need to have the segment because, you know, before we would come back the next night and say, last night something was brought up on the show, and we need to answer this question. And the text line has been incredibly busy tonight, and thank you for all your text. I try to answer your text messages, too, at 312-981-7200. But there are a couple of things I wanted to get back to. And thank you to the listener who said that listening to us tonight was like putting on a pair of comfy slippers. What a sweet thing to say.
I've never been called a comfy slipper before, but
no,
I think it kind of works.
Then the listener who went to bed at night.
But wait a minute. Which one of us is the right foot? Which one of us is the left foot?
I think we're both left feet.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Then there was a listener who went to bed at 9 o'clock tonight, so it would feel like the old days because she was always listening to us when she was in bed. Because for many years, we were on the air at 11 o'clock until 5:30 in the morning, and then it became 12 o'clock until 6 in the morning. So it was always overnight hours, and a lot of people were, in fact, in bed. Heard from some listeners this morning that said that they were raised as babies, being walked by their mothers while they were listening to our show.
Suddenly the conversation turns ugly.
I know. But how often did we hear from moms who were up walking their babies saying, thank goodness you're out there alive, keeping me awake.
And I will never forget the call. I believe it was on a Sunday night we had a call. No, it was as we were doing a New Year's Eve show.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman who was very, very pregnant.
Oh, yes.
And she wanted to know what was the kind of pizza that would induce the pregnancy.
Yes, because she wanted to have the baby before the end of the year.
Yeah, tax deductions.
For tax deductions, exactly. Yes. A listener from a 773 area code says, I am so glad you're back on Saturday nights. I have such wonderful memories of my dear, sweet, now departed mother who listened to you and thought of you as though you were family. And boy, don't we've heard that from a lot of people. Say,
and thank you. We have the best extended family on the planet.
Please, if you would, tell the story of how you met to refresh my memory. My mother was always so happy that you found one another. Well, so were we. And we briefly told this story with Lisa on Friday afternoon about how we were working at another radio station right down the street.
Well, actually, at that time, the way we met... I was living in Bolingbrook, working at WIND. Johnny was living in Aurora, working at WMRO and WAUR. And as I'd be driving back and forth, I would hear this fee person doing talk on the AM and music on the FM. And one night I was coming in to do the overnight show. And Clark Weber, yes, that Clark Weber, was on before me. He had a conversation going on about...
people who were living their dreams professionally. And he had an actor on that I had worked with at Columbia College. And so I called. I used that as an excuse to call and speak to the actor that I had actually made a film with at Columbia College. And in the course of the conversation, Clark said, and what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm in radio. You are? Well, tell us more. And so I did. And you were listening as you were driving into work.
And when I got into the station, I came into Clark and I said, do you remember that one call? And he remembered the call. I said, well, I hear her as I'm driving back and forth, and she does talk and she does music, and she's really good. Now, I had not met Johnny at that point, but there happened to be an opening at that time. So Clark and I both went in and talked with the program director, who then gave you a call.
And said, we'd like to hire you for weekends. And I said, great, I'll give them a 2-week notice. And she said, no, you don't need to give up your job. We're talking weekends. And I said, no, really, I need to give up this job. I'm working 6 days a week. I'm on the air 8 hours a day. I think I need to go to weekends because guess what? You're paying me more on weekends than I was making 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. So that was my big entree into Chicago radio.
But it was a fair amount of time before you and I actually met.
Because I did your show for months. Every time you went on vacation, and I was doing quite a bit of fill-in work there. It kept me very busy, aside from just doing my weekend show. And then they decided that they would throw us together for promotions. So we would take listeners to Blackhawks games, because we were the Blackhawks station at that time. And then we would take them to, what was the...
Oh, the inn, Como Inn.
Como Inn, yes.
Yes.
And that was one of our sponsors. So we'd take listeners there for dinner. And so they just kept throwing us together. And finally said, okay, uncle.
Yeah. And adding to the corny part of this Hallmark movie, my first day on WGN was on Christmas Eve of 1984, filling in for Bob Collins. Johnny joined me on Valentine's Day of 1985. And the first show that we did here together as a regular show was a Saturday night show.
Yep. And loved it, too, because much like what we plan on doing here, we could do showbiz. We could just kind of decompress from the work week.
But we also want you to know, as we did for years with our overnight show, if there is some major breaking news thing,
right,
you don't need to go anyplace else. You're going to hear about it right here.
Right.
And if we need to segue in that direction, that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. And so now you know, as Paul Harvey used to say,
the rest of the story.
One more question as we tie up some loose ends here. A listener said, what if I can't stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning? How will I be able to hear what happens after midnight?
So, Andrew, how will they be able to hear what happens after midnight?
Well, around the end of the show, too, by 2:33 a.m., I'll have that posted on the WGN radio website.
Awesome.
So just go to the Steve and Johnny page on the WGN radio website, and you will find whatever it is that we did tonight.
Yes.
We're going to have to go back and listen to it and figure out what the heck it was.
What does the B stand for in your name?
Benjamin.
Benjamin. Ooh. So you're A.B. Harris.
Yes, ma'am.
No.
Boy, does that sound like a lawyer.
It does.
Sounds like a law firm.
A.B. Harris.
I usually sign my name Andrew B. Harris because there's so many Andrew Harrises. I have a very generic name, so the B helps.
Well, you're far from generic. It has been a real pleasure working with you tonight.
Appreciate you.
Because coming in here, we both said, you know, I'm a little skittish. You know, we've been filling in. We've been doing different day parts, but it's different when you sit down.
In fact, at one point, I ran into Gabe in the hall, and he said, so how's it going? And I said, surprisingly fun, because we both came into, we approached this, as long as we've been doing it, we still get a kind of adrenaline rush, and especially this was a new version of what we've been doing, and we weren't sure what to expect.
It's really quiet, and we've been working during the day, and you come in here, and it's like every corner you turn down, there's somebody else, and so you're kind of feeding off all this energy, and we walked in and went, it's dark in the halls, it's mm-hmm. quiet, and it doesn't matter if I run into the men's room, even though there are only men here, but I have a problem with this place. I keep going to the men's room.
I know.
And then as soon as I open the door, I go, oh, and I back out. You'd think after the third or fourth time I did that, I would think twice before I ran into the men's room again. But it doesn't matter on the weekend.
On that note, before we break, we're going to wrap up the show each week with, this is about the time, you know, if you're in the clubs, this is the time for last call.
Yes.
So we're going to take the last call, 312-981-7200.
And that won't be a text. This is the last call. Remember when you were in a bar or you were in a restaurant and they had a 2 o'clock closing time and the lights would flicker? No, the lights are coming on. Oh, I'm going to melt. Because that was the last call. Finish up what you're having right now. Get your coat. You need to get out of here because we want to count our money and we want to go home.
Well, nowadays, last call isn't until the DJ stops playing.
Okay.
Well, there's that. But Andrew's going to be taking the calls. So, the last call, if you want to be the last call,
yes,
312-981-7200.
And our last call is going to receive a little package of goodies from us. Actually, mm-hmm. I'm tickled because, anyway, we'll tell you more about that. But we have a little something for you from our prize closet. We actually have a prize closet,
yes, too.
And we can give things away, and we decided we would do that for the last call. So if you want to be, and you say, well, I don't know what to say.
Doesn't matter.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
It's the last call. We're just going to wrap up the show. We're going to just kind of
Don't try to drop any F-bombs.
That's right.
Because we're on a delay. We know how to take care of that. But 312-981-7200, if you want to win some goodies and be the last call, we'll find out what happens after we take a break. Yeah, it's about that time for the last call. Well, and by the way, for those of you who are familiar with that particular song, yeah, we know where it goes from there. And no, it ain't going to go that way on the air. But we love it.
So my days as a cocktail waitress, oh, we'd live for the last call. When they flick that light, you just knew you really didn't look very good because you were working hard all night long, but you were happy to see that light come on because that meant finally you could count your money, you could clean up your station, and you could take your tired dogs to the car.
That's interesting. And I don't know that we've ever talked about this. So that was your attitude when it was last call. When I was playing in a band, if we were playing in a bar, last call, we all got a little bit tense on the stage because hopefully it's going to be the last call. Everybody would leave, mm-hmm. be a good night. Or was a fight going to break out? It was just for some reason, you've been looking at my girl all night long and blah, 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 blah. And this is it. So we always kind of stayed on the stage.
Really?
Let's stay out of the line of fire of glasses or anything that are going to be going back and forth. So,
well. I obviously worked at different bars than you did. Last call, we thought we would do a little something where we would invite the last caller of the night, kind of set the tone for the rest of the weekend.
And set the tone for our drive home.
Yes, but feel no pressure. And then we would reward you for stopping by here and for being with us through the evening and then becoming our last call. And I believe our last call is, in fact, a gentleman named Harry. How are you, Harry?
Hey, Harry.
Hi, I used to call in and when you guys used to do movie trivia, and I probably won several pizzas and
oh my god!
I forgot the name of the bread, but the bread you used to send out and
oh the Corsica loaf,
no Rübschlager.
Rübschlager, yes, Rübschlager bread. You're right. Yes.
It was a little loaf of Rübschlager rye bread, and I think you got a jar of mustard or something that came with it, and all you had to do
all
was
kinds
add
of stuff.
Yeah, add the corned beef. Right. Well, thank you for listening tonight.
I'm so happy that you guys have come back at least a little bit because you don't sound any different than you did back in the day when you guys had your long run. You guys sound just the same as you did back then.
We still sound that bad? Darn.
Well,
hey, I'm the keeper of the prizes now. Be good, Harry.
No, I'm definitely all positive about it. I'm happy to hear your voices.
Well, Harry, I have to ask you, what are you doing up at this hour of the night?
I'm a terminal night owl, and actually the last week and a half or so I've been, the last week and a half or so I've been kind of fighting insomnia anyway, so I tend to be up this late usually.
Do you do what I do? Because a lot of people have asked since we stopped doing full-time radio. A lot of people have said, well, have you recycled? And Johnny pretty much has. But our norm is, we'll try to crash maybe about midnight, 2 in the morning or something. Johnny will sleep all night through. If I'm lucky, I will sleep for about an hour and a half. Then I'm wide awake, and I might as well get up and work on the computer or play guitar or do whatever I'm doing. And then about 7 in the morning, I crash as Johnny is getting up. Yeah. And that's just my body's way of saying, welcome to your world.
it's not quite that bad for me, but I do tend to wake up at some point during the night, and usually I can't get right back to sleep, so I'll do something and then eventually get back to sleep. But I've just always been a night owl, so it's just I always just feel more comfortable. I don't know what it is.
And I think we're born that way because when I was a kid, I literally would walk in the dark to school and stand outside at 7:30 in the morning and wait for a teacher to show up so that I could go in the building because I got up at 5:30.
And at 5 or 5:30, I was probably, if I was lucky, just going to sleep because I'd had the radio on all night long and I didn't want to. It was like an hour and a half later I had to get up and go to school. And at South Shore High School in winter, our first course was gym and swimming.
Oh, ouch.
No, thank you.
Did you have to swim nude?
Yeah, sadly.
Chicago Public Schools did that.
Yeah.
Just to make an aside on that, mm-hmm. well, I went to Oak Park High School, mm-hmm. OPRS, and they don't do this anymore from what I've heard, but what we used to do is we used to have trunks that they gave us that they would wash every period, I guess, or whatever. But then at the end of the swim, though, you take off your trunks and you walk around the pool.
What?
It was a very weird thing.
Yes.
I don't know if there was other things going on with the staff, but...
What were you other than walking around the pool? Was there a purpose to this? Were you singing or chanting?
I mean, it was basically just get out of the pool, take off your trunks, and hand them to me on your way.
Walk around and dry off,
and to a certain extent. I mean, not that we were making laps, but we were. It was a walk that you had to make, and it was like, well, what's the deal with this?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it never made any sense to me. In fact, we girls would complain because we would have to shower before we would go swimming. We said, we have to, and the teacher would come by and check to see if you were soaping your body. Now, I just took a shower at home, not going to go and shower, but then we learned very quickly, do not complain because the boys are going au naturel. Yeah. It's a completely different world over there.
And then we found out that the girls were peeking into the guy's gym.
Well,
wait a minute!
We just wanted to be
sure.
I can imagine. All right, guess what? Harry, you are getting your very own WGN Radio Retro T-shirt. It's a T-shirt with the logo on the front. They're very cool. Designed by Steve Bertrand. Somebody in Steve Bertrand's family designed the logo.
Oh, wow.
But it's very cool because it harkens back to the early days of WGN, and it's a great T-shirt. You're also getting a desktop weather station from American Weather Makers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, the 60-Minute Man. And I just heard from somebody this evening that said, if you're lucky, you're going to get the desktop weather makers to give away. And I had to... It's in our prize closet.
Wow.
So thank you.
I've often heard about those.
Well, you will get your very own for your desk. And Harry, thank you for listening through the years. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
Hold on for a second. We'll get some information from you off the air. And
then to the listener who says, in 30 minutes, everyone in our house will be PWP. Well, give us about 40 minutes, and everybody in our house will be PWPs, right?
Yeah.
Because we are not doing that. There's a theme here, isn't there? The naked swimmers and people without pants, and I think maybe we better close up shop.
And theoretically, we'll be back next week, unless management decides otherwise. But this has been fun, and we have to very seriously thank everybody else who made this possible. Ron Brown and Gabe Salgado and Andrew Harris and Dan Long, the assembled multitude that helps us do whatever the heck this is we're doing. And if you want to get to us, you can... go to steveandjohnny.com, steveandjohnnie.com. You can also, some people were asking about our blog, and we'd love it if you would subscribe to our blog. It's doesn't cost you anything. Just go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we don't spam you. You'll just get a notification anytime we do a new blog post. You get an email. And
speaking of email, if you do email us, if you text us or whatever on these sites, it's us. We don't have people that answer you, so we will actually answer you. So just be patient with us. And let me take this full circle because one of our listeners started our show tonight, John Herbach.
Yes, John, thank you so much.
Yeah, he did that neat little intro that we had on the show tonight, and he sent it to us. And I think he just did that today and sent it to us. So thank you, John.
So thank you, thank you. And somebody wants to know about our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And we'll be posting some other pictures and some things up there. And we would like it if you'd like that, because that would be a good thing.
And be back here next Saturday night, and it will be after the Blackhawks game around 10:30 on Saturday night.
So again, thanks for hanging out with us, and we're out of here. News is next.